First, and just I was asked to mention I'll be here tonight for whoever will be here. It's always a nice thing. I'm going to be a little bit late because I give a share in Manhattan, but hopefully here somewhere between 9:30 and 10 or something. Okay, so yeah. Okay, so first we want to speak about one ha'ara quickly on the afkinu. There's much more to talk, obviously. Especially, it's particularly fascinating, as you can understand, to pursue the later development of some of these questions of afkinu and kol mekadesh dat d'rabbanan mekadesh, and especially akiras davar min haTorah. You know, as I say, there's a huge, massive literature about it. It's also really, obviously, very, very important. It's important for very practical reasons, and it's also very, as we've been discussing, it's very important in terms of kol chachamim, and both in Ishus and in general, and just the different, even what we've touched on alone, which is just the different ways to read the Gemara by the various different Rishonim, the implications, can demonstrate how critically important it is. But we have to move on. Just one thing before we move on, that's what Aaron brought to my attention yesterday. I just misunderstood what I thought he was talking about the Shittim Gubetzes, but he was actually talking about the Ria Lavan, that just the Ha'ara, how does the Ria Lavan read the continuation of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Shavu Rabbanan, right? Can you hear me back there?
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you read the Gemara of Shavu Rabbanan, the Bilaso, Bilas, Znus, according to the Tosfos Ria Lavan? So I was suggesting a certain approach, which I still think, makes a lot of sense. But what he pointed out to me is that if you look very carefully at the Ria Lavan, he is kind of addressing this. What he's saying is that, Shavu Rabbanan Lebilaso Bilas Nus really goes on he takes the view that there really are two different sugyas, right? One is the, as many Rishonim do, but they just divide it up in different ways. But for him, it's, the sugya in Balbasra and Yomis Kufiud is really Akira Sakidushin. And again, I just want to emphasize this, if it didn't come across clearly enough the other day, that the biggest chiddush of Ria Lavan is in his reading of the words Kala Mekadesh Adata Drabanan Mekadesh, which he thinks has a meaning that no one else ascribed to it, but that itself would be important, but also the fact that both meanings together have implications. Meaning, for him, Kol Mekadesh Adat Drabanan Mekadesh means, in the Sugya Yavamis and Balbasra, that the Chachamim have the ability, right, to not endorse, and therefore to torpedo, a Kiddushin going forward. Okay, that we've seen before. But it also means, Kol Mekadesh Adat Drabanan Mekadesh, that we all have to do, we all have to put our shoulder to the grindstone and do what we can do to preserve and to protect the institution of Kiddushin. That's what it means. Kol Mekadesh Adat Rabbanan Mekadesh. Everybody is responsible, to ensure, to safeguard the integrity of Kiddushin and of Ishus. And the second way that expresses itself, as the Tosfos Lavan says, is through Kol Megaresh Adat Drabanan Megaresh. But the words Kol Mekadesh Adat Drabanan Mekadesh mean we're going to preserve Ishus, by making sure that in situations where otherwise a get would be inadequate, that there is Das Legaresh, and that the Gerushin is going to go through, so that that way, we can make sure that there's not going to be any need for Akira Sakidusha. That's what the words Kala Mekadesh Adata Drabana Mekadesh mean. Again, that's what these words mean. Pirish Adaita Drabana Mekayim Kiddushin Umafkiinan Beget. We're going to be Machshir the Get, right, by virtue, for the reason of being Mekayim, the Kiddushin. We don't want to disrupt an existing Kiddushin. That's just an amazing interpretation. The two together is like an amazing combination. Chachamim can say, we're not validating this Kiddushin, and that'll work. And the Chachamim also are going to demand that in some cases where otherwise you wouldn't, you have Das Lagarish, or you accept their mandate of Das Lagarish, again, to preserve and protect the integrity of Kiddush. That's just an amazing idea. Anyways, But that aside, so what is the continuation of the Gemara? So what Aaron pointed out to me is the real Lavan basically says the Shaka Vitaria Tanakh the Kaddish Bekaspa the Kaddish Bebiya Ma'ika Lameimar, which doesn't work so well with the second interpretation, the one about being Mekayim Kedushin in general, is basically, the way I put it was, copied and pasted from the Sugya in Yevamos and Balbasra. It really belongs to the first type of Kala Mekadosh Adata Drabana Mekadosh. The one of Heimasu Shalol Tzorech, Nasa Lahem Shalol Tzorech. So there, the question is, well, can you do that even in Bia? Maybe you can only do that in Kesef. That's the Shalak Avatari, Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekasmi, the Kaddish Rabbi Maikel, the Emar, Shabbi Rabbanim, Bilasa, Bilasnos. So when they were trying to quote Kala Mekadosh Adata Drabana Mekadosh, either, the paragraph integrity monitors or somebody just didn't let them quote that line, so it kind of dragged the whole paragraph into the Gemara here. I'm being trying to be facetious, but the point is it was like Kol Mekadesh Adata Drabana Mekadesh V'chule, and they printed the rest of the text, but the Tanakh the Kodesh B'Kaspa really only belongs to the 1A, not also to the 1B definition of Kol Mekadosh Adata Drabana Mekadosh. Right? Is that basically what it says? Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got it right. Okay. At the same time, when I was responding to Aaron, I didn't realize he was talking about the Tosfos Riyah Lavon, although I didn't catch that that's how the Tosfos Riyah Lavon interprets the continuation either, so it's good that we did it. What I was saying was that for the Shita Mekubetzes, and possibly for the Keren Orah, who think that the Akira is Mikano Lahaba, but it's an Akira of the Kedushin, Mikano Lahaba, I still think the best way to read the Gemara of Shabir Avonu Lilasa Bilas Nus is that the Chachamim are saying, from now on, this sanction ends, or we no longer recognize this within this framework, and Mimela, that part of it is over. But I acknowledge that it's hard to read the Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa part, what the Havaminas were, and even this part of it is hard to read according to that sheet. I think you have to say something like that, and we were struggling a little bit to try to figure out what the Keren Orah means in Yevamos, Eli and Chaim and I, and I'm still not so satisfied with it, unless you figured it out fully. I'm not sure exactly what he has in mind. Okay, that's number one. So much for that. So yeah, I want to spend a couple minutes just back on Onus B'Tanai before we then part the Lynch on the Shari. Yeah.
That's what in the real
oven
says, is it clear that that's not just his way of saying that their own Kaddish extends to that their own Megarish? Instead of totally rereading the line of that their own Kaddish, it sounds like it's simpler to just say that he's basically just making the point that
I'm honestly, just the words to me say much more. These words where he says, what does Adaita Drabanan Mekadosh mean? Pirish, Adaita Drabanan Mekayim Kiddusha. Why don't we just say, just like there is Kol Mekadosh Adaita Drabanan Mekadosh. I think you could have said that. I think the fact that he goes out of his way and says something more spectacular, methodologically, to me, means that he needs it. In other words, he could have just said, this is what Yakir is saying, and he partially does say this, just like there's Kolam Mekadosh Adata Drabanan Mekadosh, there's also Kolam Megarish Adata Drabanan Megarish. And that stands, let's say, in bold contrast, let's say, with that line in the Tshuva of the Rajba, where he says, no, there's Kolam Mekadosh Adata Kolam Mekadosh Adata Drabanan Mekadosh, but we don't have any such statement in the Gemara of Kolam Megarish Adata Drabanan Megarish. And the real Lavan is saying, not true. And I think to some extent it is in bold contrast. But for him to say that, notwithstanding, that this still means Adaita Drabanan Mekayim Kiddushav Dimaf Ki'inam Beget, to me means that he's saying more than that. What he's saying is, it may express itself in Kala Megarish, Adaita Drabanan Megarish, but that too is a function of preserving the integrity of Kiddushin. We're preserving the integrity of Kiddushin by insisting that it be terminated not through a disruption, but through Gittin. That's what the words Adata Drabanan Mekayim Kiddushad Dimaf Ki'inan Beget. I just think it's an astonishing interpretation. And I think he wouldn't say it unless he meant it. So I agree, he's also saying Kala Magarish Adanta Dravana Magarish. But basically he's saying, if, in other words, if there was a dialogue, let's say, between the real Lavan and the Rajba, it's almost like, in my view, the real Lavan would be saying to the Rajba, you're right, you're right. He'd say it twice. In other words, the Gemara only says Kala Makadesh Adata Drabana Makadesh. We never find in all of Shas the statement Kala Magarish Adata Drabana Magarish, and we don't have the right to just, you know, assume that, you know, one is the equivalent of the other. There are good reasons to think that Kalos Kiddushin should be Al Dasa Chachamim, and maybe Gerushin, you know, which is Bal Korcha, the Isha, and so on, and the husband has much stronger focus. Maybe that's different. Moreover, the Kiddushin is an institution, and the Gerushin is its matir. Maybe there are good reasons to be Mechale, or just the fact that we don't have the statement in the Talmud is a good enough reason not to assume that you can project it. However, to the extent that the Kala Megaresh Adata Drabana Megaresh is an investment in Kala Mekadesh Adata Drabana Mekadesh, in the integrity of that institution, it's just the extension of it. It doesn't need to be mentioned in the Talmud, because it's really just a method of accomplishing. That's how I read the real Lavan. It could be I'm reading too much into it, but I'm honestly, that's how I read it. That's how I understand it. Yeah. Oh, correct. Thank you. Yeah. So I just wanted to make one other ha'ara, and that is, when we were talking about you know, whether or not the get here is a chalos get, so we understand. If you take the view of, you know, the Ramban, Ra'a, A, the Rajba, B, the Real Lavan, C, and we now agree that even though they have a lot in common and they overlap tremendously, in terms of, you know, not requiring the actual, that's working with the get and making the get mostly a daraisa, and the Rajba, maybe not always, but almost always, and the Ramban, I think always, in the real Lavan always, but I agree with Isaac for a different reason maybe than the Ramban and the Ra'a. But at the end of the day, if you take any of those views, so then the idea that the get is daraisa is clear. I was suggesting that for the Rajba, you know, who has a bit of a different take on the whole thing, and the Kedi and the Eid Echad and all of that, then the addition to that is a chalos get by virtue of the fact that that is needed for triggering of Kinu, not just technically, but substantively, right? But in the same way that there's a chalos Eid Echad. And then we noted that for the Ramban, right, there's also a day of Epsher, that there's a din of get to Rabban, and that there are nafkamina, possibly in all these things, against the Meiri, in terms of Kurva, in terms of Mamzer Drabanon, and in terms of Psul Grusha Le Kohen, Reach HaGet. But what I wanted to add is it possible, if we're not dealing with a, if we're dealing with a, you know, Doraisa, obviously, if we're dealing with a Kiddushin Drabanon, which requires a Get Drabanon, in other words, what we're saying is, even when there's an Akira, that's Doraisa, but Midrabanon, we have to treat this as Kiddushin, and therefore we have to treat it as Gittin, and it's a get to Rabbanon. So then basically what we're saying is a Chalos Ishus Rabbanon, and there's a Maisa and a Chalos get to Rabbanon. But, especially for, you know, the Rajba and so on, is it possible, or maybe even for the Shittim of Kubetzes, that the get here isn't to neutralize Ishus Rabbanon? It's really just a Maisa Geirushin, or a Maisa Nesinus again. It's a matir, right, that triggers this whole process. And if that's the case, then maybe you have a Maisa Geirushin, but not so much a Chalos Geirushin Drabana. And there might be a difference between issues of Korva, for example, and Reach HaGet, because there's a lot of evidence that Reach HaGet is triggered by the Maisa Geirushin, not necessarily by the chalos of Gerushin. So in other words, when we're talking about the possibility that the get isn't just a technical trigger, right, Yored Geshamim or Amnashi Yirtza'ava, but it's something more than that, even then, what is Drabanan, what is Doraisa, and on the Drabanan level, is it Ishus Drabanan and Get Drabanan, or is it simply Maisa Gerushin, or chalos get in Maisa Gerushin, even without a real Grushin Rabban. Okay, and then might be nafkamina in terms of the mamzerus, kurva, isra grusha issues too. Okay, so that's in terms of the sugya of kinu. Then I just want, yeah.
Okay. Question: you pointed out yesterday that there would be a difference in the Rashba and the Ramban in terms of ever triggering actually of kinu.
I thought that for the Ramban and the Ra'ah, you never, even if you're an Akshan, it's not going to help you, because the kind of either Akhriti or Das Lagaresh that you're missing. Whereas for the Rajba, if you really, really want to go ahead with this, and you want to say, I want to, you know, I refuse to get divorced, and that's going to trigger off, you know, so be it. That's
so
what I thought.
The Rajba and Gittin uses particularly strong language that would seem to potentially indicate it would never be. He says,
Okay, but does that mean anansadi? And let's say he would. I agree. The default is that there's no akira lamafreya because you don't need it, because most people are going to go that route. But anansadi doesn't mean that he can't be an Akshan if he wants. Let's say, he blogs on his website that, you know, he will never divorce. You know, it's a blight in his family, or just, you know, out of, spite, you know, in this particular case. Is that covered by Anansadi? So you could say, Anansadi means we don't believe him. He's just posturing. All I'm saying is that for the Ramban, the issue isn't Anansadi. For the Ramban, the issue is Ein Ze Nikra, right? Bittol. That's how the Ramban says it. I think, on the contrary, you're showing that it's very strong and very powerful, and we'd be very skeptical that there were exceptions. But saying Anansadi is different than saying that, you know, Al Pidin Lo Shma Bittol, and that's, I think, where the difference lies. Okay, good. So I want to get back to Ein Ones just for a second. Did you have a question?
No, sorry.
Okay. Are you just buying the painting?
No, it's the shtender here.
Are you buying the shtender?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I just want to speak for a couple more minutes about Ones Biyom Achron and so on. Okay. So again, the subject of Ones B'Tanai is a fascinating one, as we discussed. The question of what the quality of ones is in that circumstance. Again, ones shchiach, ones shlo shchiach. I mentioned the question of what happens when there's a safek, whether, let's say there is an ones, but it's a safek machmas ones or lo machmas ones. By the way, there's also an interesting discussion about that in Bnei Yeshua. Reb Chaim weighs in on that issue as well. The Birchas Shmuel, I should mention, in Ksuvos. It's a very difficult book to read, the Birchas Shmuel, as we know, but that's a topic in its own right. But Birchas Shmuel in Ksuvos has like five pieces or so on ones, beget and ones betanai, and he quotes Reb Chaim as saying a whole bunch of interesting things. So among them, he discusses this seeming debate between the Pnei Yeshua and Reb Chaim about what happens when there is an ones, but you don't know that the guy's in the hospital. Right, or the bridge fell down. But it's not like he's there saying chazed asoi, chazed asoi, or he's, you know, again, sending you emails every second from the hospital bed. But, you know, you just don't know. You happen to know that he's sick. You happen to know that he didn't show up. Right? Or you happen to know the bridge is out and he couldn't get here if he wanted. And for all you know, he didn't bother because he doesn't want to. So the Pnei Yeshua is of the opinion that, you know, that it's very meduyak in the Gemara that the guy's gesticulating and screaming chazed asoi, chazed asoi. And because otherwise it's a safek, and you know, it's not so clear that you would, even if you hold yesh ones b'tanai, then that's if we know that the ikuv is the ones, right? But if the possibility he's not going to come because he doesn't want to come, it just so happens to be an ones, so who says that we say yesh ones b'tanai? And then he has an interesting discussion, and do you believe the guy? I mean, there could be three scenarios. One is, you see that he's, practically jumping in the river, to swim to the other side, or at least screaming, chazed asai, chazed asai. That's one scenario. The second scenario is you just don't know. And, there could be four scenarios, the truth is, right? there can be this, you know, scenario where he's really clearly doing everything he can, and there are objective good reasons to think that he wants to come, and the onus is ma'ake. There can be a situation where we know, or we're pretty sure, that he doesn't want to come, right? Even though there happens to be a situation where he can't come, even if he wants to, right? And then there can be a situation, let's say, in between, where we just don't know, right? We don't know what his state of mind is. We do know that he can't make it, right? So the question is, that's the third situation. Then there can be a fourth situation where he's not gesticulating and practically, have to restrain him from jumping into the river, but he is claiming, after the fact, I was sick, and I really wanted to come. So there's no objective evidence for that, other than his word. That's different than not knowing, and that's different than, him telling you, or there being objective evidence, that he just couldn't care less, and it's just a coincidence that he happens to be ill. So what would happen in these four different scenarios happens to be a very interesting issue. And Birchas Shmuel, quote Reb Chaim, is saying that it's not a suffix. As long as he can't come, then basically his staying away is not an act of volition anymore, because even if he wanted to come, he couldn't. So al pidin, that's considered to be onus. That's a very fascinating argument in its own right. Okay, that's the second point. Either way, the point is that the quality of onus, whether it's shchiach, lo shchiach, whether it is, the question of either safek or vadai, where you have safek and ratzon at the same time, basically, which is an interesting issue, these are questions about the quality of onus and the role of ratzon in fulfillment or bittul of tenai, frankly. And another one of these is onus biyomato, because that too is an example where it's, onus velo onus, just like shchiach is onus velo onus, right? And just like, some sort of combination, either safek or actual, of onus and ratzon is a question of onus, shein onus, gamor. So too, onus biyomachron, quantitatively, is an onus shein onus gamor. Because for the first 29 days he could have come, and it's only on the 30th day that he can't come. Or, if you want to take it, let's say he could have come on the first day, but he can't come in the last 29 days. Right, where are you going to draw the line? But it's a situation where it isn't a pure onus, just like the others, but for a different reason, it's a qualitatively compromised onus. And the question is, what is the status? So I want to spend a couple of minutes, because I think it's an interesting issue. So these are two deos in Yoredeah, Simin Reish Lamed Beis. Let's quickly. Sifyud Gimel, the Rama quotes two deos. Whether in such a situation regarding neder, right, to have a nidrei onsin, which is a sugya in the Darim Chav Zayin that we discussed, and let's say, he was able to implement this all along, but but the last day, biyom acharon, and there are two deos on this, and then there's the whole discussion. There, and in Choshen Mishpat, Sivin Nun Hei, Sif Aleph, regarding this issue. So the Shita of the Aguda, Sefer Aguda was a work of Ashkenaz, later Ashkenaz, meaning, 14th, 15th century Ashkenaz, 15th century Ashkenaz, that the Aguda's position was that onus biyom achron is not considered to be an onus, at least in the context of the Darim, and he brought a raya from the sugya of Bate Arechom. Bate Arechom, you have an opportunity a year, right, to be poda the property. If you don't, then it's chalut, right? And the question is, the Gemara has this whole discussion, to try to neutralize the possibility that the guy, the owner, whose interest it is that you not be able to track him down, within the year. So let's say he's, hiding on the last day. So the Chachamim tried to, figure out ways to make him accessible. The implication being that if he was hiding the last day, that he would get away with that. And the object that the Batei Arechoma would be chalut, there wouldn't be the possibility of pidyon. In other words, says the Aguda, it seems from the Gemara that when it comes to Batei Arechoma, that onus biyom achron lo shma onus. And it works. That's considered a kiyum hatnai. The kiyum hatnai is, in fact, that he wasn't poded during the year, right? Even though the last day he couldn't, because the guy was eluding him, onus biyom achron, lo shma onus. That's the view of the Aguda. Okay. So the Aguda seems to be equating, certainly at minimum, onus bin adarim and bate orichom. And Iksos in Simon Nun Hei, Sivkatan Aleph, rejects this. Number one, he says, whatever you're going to say about Bate Arechoma, right, is not necessarily germane to the bigger issue of Ones Biyom Achron. And the reason for that is because the way that Bate Arechoma really works is such that even if it was Ones for the entire year, it wouldn't help you. If you were Ones and you could never accomplish the pidyon to undermine the chaluta, it's not just because onus, you know, biyom achron lo shma onus. It's that onus is ineffective when it comes to neutralizing the kinyan or the chaluta of bate arechom. And the reason for that is, says Iksos, because onus rachmana patre the ein onus rachmana kaide. Again, that same line, which again has its part roots of the Gemara Nedarim Chavzayin and the Shaka Vitaria, as we know, but especially as we discussed last time, took off, especially in the world of the Shach and on the Shach and Ksos himself and Simon Chaf Aleph, the Avnei Miluim, which is written by the Ksos, right, the Nesivas, a lot of the Achronim and Poskim, picked up with this Onus Rachmana Chayve. Lo amrinan, onus rachmana patre amrinan. Now, why is this onus rachmana chayde, which wouldn't work anyway? The answer is because, as we've discussed, one man's chayde could be another man's patre. So it really depends very much on how you look at the character of what's happening here. So the Ksos' argument, l'shitaso, is as follows. He basically says that when it happens to, what happens in bate arechoma, is the second that you sell the property, it's really chalut. There's just the ability, as an extraneous akira, to undermine that, in the time period that you have. So the onus, right, the burden, let's say, is always to try to be oker. The default is that the bate arichoma is chalut to the person who bought it. So the point is, onus, is not going to be a factor, or onus is going to be a factor, in other words, an extenuating circumstance, when it's part of something that is required, right, to create a change. And that we say, onus rachmana patre. Meaning, if this change takes place partially because of onus, so that's an extenuating circumstance. But when you have the opposite, namely, where the default is that there was change, but there's still the outside artificial possibility of undermining change, right? Onus is never going to help you, because then that would be onus rachmana chayve, not onus rachmana patre. That's, again, in keeping with this new perspective on how onus does or doesn't work. Onus rachmana patre, amrinan onus rachmana chayve, lo amrinan. But, of course, it also depends, it also assumes a certain perspective on how Bate Arichoma really works. Okay. The Nesivas disagrees. So the Nesivas' understanding of the Aguda is that it's limited to Nedarim. He says it's true, the Aguda says what he says, but he says it, on that discussion of Nidre Onsin. And only there do we say that Onus Biyom Achron lo shma onus. And the reason for that, once again, but here's where the Nesiva says something really important, and something that's particularly fits into our bigger analysis, is that when it comes to Nidre Onsin, and we already mentioned the Nesiva actually, when it comes to Nidre Onsin, he says that depends on this factor of onus rachmana patre or onus rachmana chay. Because to neutralize a neder through onus, you basically have to go the formal route. And the formal root includes Anus Rachmana Patre, the law Anus Rachmana Chaybe. And as far as that is concerned, when you want a formal hafka of the Maisa, or a formal ptur, Anus, then the rule is that Anus Biomachron isn't sufficiently qualitatively Anus to justify Anus Rachmana Patre. However, he says, this is the key thing, if we were dealing not with the formality of whether or not anus, maisa ba'anus, shma, maisa, or is a legal maisa, or is a mechayiv maisa, I'm not talking about anus kamanda abid or kalo abid now, we're talking about anus rachmana patre or chaybe, anus have the ability to be mechayiv you, and so on and so forth, anus rachmana patre doesn't have the ability to be mechayiv you, right? So if we're talking about umdana, instead of talking about the formal status of ones, he says, then everybody would agree that ones biomachron would be considered anus. Whenever we're reading people's minds and they give you a time period, says the Nesivas, they give you Shalshim Yom, they give you Yud Beis Chodesh, whatever it is, or the Torah gives you the time period, so it means the entire, any part of the time period. You have any part of the time period, any part of the time period is going to be included. If there's a part of that time period which implicitly, right, based on umdana, right, it didn't occur to you the bridge was going to be down, didn't occur to you that you're going to be laid up in the hospital, right? Because you have every right to do it on the last day if you want. No din that, you know, if you're megaresh amanas, you know, that I'm not going to show up for 30 days, there's no din that says that there's something better about coming the first day than the last day. So if you can't do it for the 30th day, you're a procrastinator, or your schedule is such, you left it to the last day. But Lemaisa, then there was an onus, right? So you didn't have that in mind. So implicit, right, is onus biyamachron, shma onus. Then if you said, but that's if we're dealing with umdanas. But in the darim, we're not dealing with umdanas, because if we were dealing with umdanas, you would require a she'elas chacham. Because in to be mater neder through an umdana, through a tos, you need the institution of a chacham. Since we're not talking about a chacham here, obviously we're talking about another way of neutralizing a neder through nidrei onsen, right? And that is through the principle of onus rachmana patre. But if we do an onus rachmana patre, that's not about mind reading, that's about formality. He says, oh, if we're talking about that, onus biyamachron lo shma anus, right? That requires a certain quality of onus, and yamachron doesn't suffice. So that is an amazing idea. What's important about it is two things. Again, this idea that onus biyamachron is neither purely onus nor is it purely not onus, but that it's a certain level of onus, and that it depends. That basically tna'im depend on umdana, he's suggesting, and nidre onus depends on the formality of onus rachmana patre. Now we know that there are people who disagree. There are people who think that nidre onus also depend on umdana. Depends on how you read the Shakamatari of the Gemara of Rava and the Darim. When Rava originally said onus rachmana patre, what's going on here on the Tanai, and then the Gemara said, oh, maybe that's limited, the chitema katal is shiny, and so on. We discussed how that works out. So there are people who will tell you that even the Darim depend on umdana, but we also know that there are plenty of good people, the Ritva, possibly Rashi, Meiri, who will tell you that even Tanai depends on the formality of Onus Rachmana Patre, or Law Onus Rachmana Chaybe, or Onus Kamanda Abed, or Onus Kamanda Law Abed. So this, the Sibos, is really a very important chiluk, both in terms of Onus Biyamachron, and in his assessment of Tanai versus Neder, but the two models that emerge are relevant for others, both for Tanai and for Neder. Okay, everybody with me? Okay. In addition to that, the Nesivas has two or three other really interesting ha'aras. One is, yeah. Yeah, as soon as we finish this point with the Nesivas and Rav Chaim, then I want to go upstairs for religious Shunda on the Shari. That has to be done upstairs. So I'll try to do it quickly. The Nesivas has several other ha'aros which are just fascinating, where he says that what the Ksos says about Batar Rechoma is just wrong anyway, he says, and the reason that it's wrong is because there's plenty of evidence in the Nesivos' view, the Ksos counters in the Meshoviv Nesivos, that Bate Arichoma doesn't work the way that we thought. That's Ksos said, Bate Arichoma, that's always going to be Onus Rachmana Kaive, and therefore it's never going to work. And the reason for that is because it's Chalut, until you're Okerit. And the Nesivos says, Pumta Keret, where's Eli? The ear? Oh, okay. I wasted a pumpa carrot and not even here. The opposite is true, right? Ipka mistabra, right? And the reason that that's so is because what really, really happens is that nothing happens until a year. The davar hamachlit is the absence of a year. Until that point, it's like halva, bialma. Talks about it in terms of ribbis, and so on. So basically, if that's the case, says the Nesivos, I agree with your analysis of Onus Rachmana Patre, Onus Rachmana Chaybe, being Koveya, but I don't agree that Bate Arichoma is always Onus Rachmana, no, it's to apply Onus to Bate Arichoma and Onus Rachmana Chaybe. In my opinion, on the contrary, you're keeping the status quo, which is that the Lokeach does not have the property. As long as, you know, all the conditions haven't perfectly been met, the chaluta doesn't take place. In which case, this is Onus Rachmana Patre, not Onus Rachmana Chaybe. Moreover, another ha'ara of the Nesivos. In addition to that, I think it's important to say something else here. And that is that Bate Arichoma is probably not subject to the din of Onus anyway. And that's because, where do we find that Onus will ever matter when there's an absolute halachic deadline, an objective halachic deadline? And since the Torah says v'hisiga yado when it comes to Bate Arichoma, so when it comes to Bate Arichoma, we should care less about the why than the what. The fact of the matter is that the deadline is up, and the deadline is what determines. That is the second ha'ara of the Nesivos. The third ha'ara of the Nesivos is, isn't it just painfully clear, or perfectly clear, from our sugya of Onus, at Onus Biomakron, Shma Onus, when it comes to Tanai, because no one ever said that the bridge had to be down for 30 days. The bridge only has to be down the last day, and so on. So that's the view of the Nesivos. So I just wanted to round it up with Reb Chaim, who basically says, it depends on the nature of the particular Tanai. Whether Onus Biomakron is going to be considered an Onus or not, says Reb Chaim, depends on the role of time in this particular Tanai. There can be a Tanai in time, and there can be a Tanai of time. Okay, kind of what he says. The Tanai in time basically says, well, there's a framework within which you have to exercise, you know, your rights or stipulation, and so on. Says Reb Chaim, when that is the case, so, you know, if the Shloshim Yom, let's say, or the Yud Beis Kodesh, is a framework within which you're supposed to accomplish a certain Tanai, so then Onus Biomachron Lo Shma Onus, because, you know, it's not the only day, it's just one of 30 days. Frankly, you might even argue, as long as there's any time within that framework to accomplish the goal, legitimately, that shouldn't constitute a problem of, or a p'tur of Onus. However, says Reb Chaim, sometimes the time isn't just the framework within which you accomplish the task, it's really part of the Tanai itself. So in the case of Hareat Mugureshes, right, Im Lo Basi La'achar Lamed Yom, is the La'achar Yom just a framework? Right? Or is the is the La'achar Lamed Yom, you're going to stay away 30 days absence? Or a year's absence? If the year's absence is the trigger, right? Not the absence, you know, but one which is, you know, has a range of, you know, from day one to day 30. It's not, if you come from one day one to day 30, or if you don't come from one day, day one to day 30, it's the 30 days absence, which is the Tanai. Whenever the 30 day absence is the Tanai, this is Rechayim, so then Ones B'yom Achron is an Ones. Because the total period which defines, and this, he says, depends on either the formulation of the Tanai, or objectively on the role you know, that factor plays, and halachically how we define the Tanakh. So, for example, when it comes to Batei Rechoma, says Reb Chaim, and this is very similar to himself in the Sivas, it really depends how we look at the period. Is it the, you know, absence of 30 of doing anything for a year that creates a chaluta, or is it that, you know, within a year you have the possibility of either undercutting this chaluta or not? Now, is it a tnai in time, or is it a tnai of time? If the chaluta of 30 days or of a year is, if the chaluta is defined by the absence of activity for a year, and that's a davar acholet, then we're dealing with ones biyom achra. But if, as seems more likely, it's not the, you know, absence of activity for a year that's a davar acholet, but it's the opportunity within that year to do something, then that would be a different matter. And then he goes on to discuss whether or not there's a difference between seeing this from the perspective, is it that the pigeon shell shana is the cholet, or is the fact that the cheftza was not nifta betoch shana that's a davra cholet? And that too might be koveya. Reb Chaim implicitly rejects the idea of the nesivas that the deadline issue in Batei Rechoma is koveya. He basically says, well, if the idea of chaluta is that it requires a willful, a volitional year refrain in order to accomplish the din of Batei Rechoma, the chaluta of Batei Rechoma, then, you know, maybe it doesn't start from day one and end at the year point. It means a year, you know, full of opportunity, you know, to be cholet and to have abstained from doing that. So then you could actually change the deadline too. Okay, it doesn't quote the Nesivas, but clearly this is a rejection of the Nesivas' idea. So what emerges is very fascinating arguments about certainly Batei Rechoma, but again, they are, you know, they in turn affect the fine line, are we dealing with onus, you know, which is Rachmana Patre, or would be Rachmana Chayde, which we never say. Are we dealing with a formal Patur Ones, and a formal hagdara of ones, or are we dealing with umdanas and das? Okay, so that is just what I wanted to fill in terms of ones, and you know, there are some other issues as well. One other which I'll just mention: I wanted you to look at the Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Geirushin, Halacha Yud Aleph, and some of the Shita Mekubetzeses, because there you also have situations where you know, you don't have bitul hatanai, but you don't yet have kiyum hatanai. You have let's say Hariat Megureshes, you know, Imlo Basi Lachar Yud Beis Chodesh Me'achshav. Let's say Imlo Basi, and then the guy dies. Is the Get Chal only at the Yud Beis Chodesh point, which is what the Gemara seems to say, or immediately? So again, the Balei Tosfos say that in principle it should be Chal immediately, but we're Machmir B'Drabanan and we wait it out. And the Rambam seems to say that it's a real Safek, or that fundamentally you have to wait. So Gon, these are further examples where you have no bitul atnai. You know there's not going to be bitul atnai, but you don't necessarily have yet kiyum atnai. And Shimon Kubetzis weighs in, you know, on these issues too. Page 15, column 2, Shimon Kubetzis suggests the difference between me'achshav and lachar zman, either on the umdana level or on the more fundamental level, like we've been discussing, in terms of, you know, do you need kiyum, bitul, what is kiyum, what is bitul? And similarly, the Shidu Kubetzes, page 19, column 2, seems to take a position on this other issue where you have no bitul, but you have no kiyum yet either. And that, too, belongs in our bigger topic. Okay, so we'll stop here with the ones. I want to adjourn upstairs, and let's talk about the Lidrosh. We'll deal with the ones. Sure. Different ones. We're so behind, and let's try to get what we can. Yeah. Okay, let's do a just like kind of a general. We'll do a general kind of a discussion today, and then we'll try to get, you know, we'll try to fill in more details as we have time, hopefully Thursday. And again, we'll pick up with probably the topic of Chosson Avel after you know, after we continue, and then we'll move more quickly We'll be able to, hopefully. We still want to get to some. We've done, actually, in terms of, you know, I'll speak about the Bechina Nadar, but we actually have done a couple of the important topics of, you know, in the Tess and Yud area, but we definitely want to get back to the other ones, Shad Nafsha and Bar Yoshema. So I hope that we'll have that opportunity. So, you know, Avinoam, I didn't get any feedback there. So do I get a...
Yeah, I think you should get some almonds.
I should get the what?
Some almonds.
I'm saying, did I deserve an almond? That's what I want to know. So maybe after this year.
Mine,
after. Ah, whose were they?
It's mine, Rabbi. That's why I said...
Oh, they were yours. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Sorry, I'm blaming the... So you're not convinced yet?
Not yet.
You want to say you want to hold off the second half of this year?
Yeah.
I hear. I respect that. Okay. So maybe you'll read for us.
Maybe my expertise is Kedushin, not
so. Okay, this is part of okay, well, go ahead, let's go let's just read from the Gemara first. Okay, Jonah, go ahead.
Alright, one moment.
We're on Gimel Amud Beis here. Again, the intervening Gemara we read, the Shaktu Gemaras we did already. Right, and okay, we don't need to do that again. Wait. You can't just do that, right? Yeah. Umisakana v'elach, right?
Okay.
Isn't that what we're up to?
Yeah.
Ravi konsa, we know that. Right. Shoktu we did. Good.
Umisakana v'elach, nangu ha'am nichnos b'shlishi v'lo mechu v'yadu chacham.
Okay, so what is this? So the Gemara is now introducing a less than ideal situation, right? It's misakana v'elach, some sort of a sakana, where that would justify not getting married on a Wednesday, but getting married on a Tuesday. Right? V'lo michu b'yadim chacham nechachamim, we're okay with it. Right? Okay, good. So, ubesheni, go ahead. That's a kind of a cryptic braisa. Go ahead. Ubesheni
layichnos. V'machas ha'onis matzah.
Yeah. He shouldn't get married on a Monday, even though he can't get married on a Wednesday, and he could get married on a Tuesday, but he shouldn't push his luck and get married on a Monday. Okay, maybe we'll get back to this part afterwards, but first I want to get the more basic things in, right? But if it's ones, then it's mutter. So we need to know what ones means, what sakana means. Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. Go ahead. Umafrishin.
Umafrishin is a chasam min akala lele shabbos tchila. Yivnei shehu osa chabura.
Okay, what's that?
If
they get married and the first time that they're going to be together intimately is going to be on a Friday night,
and then you don't allow them to sleep together because we're worried that the husband's going to make a chabura.
Yeah, we're worried that the besulim will be a chabura. So that's something, again, we'll talk about next, in the beginning of the, after the break. You know, again, we'll try not to get too bogged down, but there's some interesting Shabbos issues that come up here. Some of the sodas of Shabbos come up here. Gresha, Lakshin Tzrich Legufa, Darshan Miskaven. We did some of them last year, but we'll do a quick job. Okay. Now the Gemara wants to know, what are these terms that justify adjusting the dates of the wedding? Right? My sakana,
ilei madamri besula hanises liyam harvi tehareg. Nagu?
Meaning that the decree was made, anybody who gets married on a Wednesday, or a besula that gets married on a Wednesday, is subject to the death penalty.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Nagu! Yeah, meaning it's a minug. We've got to take action, and we've got to be okay the wedding date of Yom Ravi, because that's not... So there's no Yehorig Bayabar, presumably, on that. Or is there? Right? So this actually raises the question of... What question? What institution? Maybe.
Is it Yom Nisuin?
Well, it tests the importance of Yom Ravi, certainly, and but in terms of halachically, in terms of the possibility of Yehorig Bayavar, what is it? Okay, good. What's that called? Shas Hashva, right? You're absolutely right. Arkas of the Masana, right? But Arkas of the Masana is an example of what we call Shas HaShmad, a time of religious crisis. Hanukkah was the great example of a time of religious crisis. Actually, I hope to speak about that over Hanukkah, but not here. So, your side chair. But this idea that Shas Hashmad, that Arkas of the Besana, even the Zihari Val Yavor, right, needs to be coordinated with this line in the Gemara. What, and the Rishonim talk about it. Right? If it really is that they were trying to impose, you know, their will, and to, you know, to in principle, let's say, be oker, even a David Rabbanon, a Din Rabbanon is probably more chashuv than Arkas the Masana. Right? What is Arkas the Masana?
It's a minhag that they used to wear black shoelaces and wear more red.
Yeah, exactly. Shoelaces. So probably Yom Ravi is of equal or greater stature than that. So we need to understand what that is, but we'll get back to that. Okay. Go ahead. Amar Rabba.
Amar Rabba. The Amar Yisula Hanises Biyom Harvi Tibal Higamon Tchila.
Hegemon Tchila. Right. What's a hegemon? What is a hegemon?
It's the practice of hegemony, where they used to split up the regions by generals, I think.
And yeah, you know. Well, that's where hegemony comes from, that word. Right. Right? Meaning it's, you know, samchut, basically. The leader, the ruler. Right? Yeah. So it wasn't that they're going to kill anybody, any besulo gets married on Yom Ravi, but anybody, any besulo that can marry in Yom Ravi is going to have this horrible situation. Okay? You can see what kind of society this was, obviously. And it wasn't very edifying. Go ahead.
I sakana ones.
The Gemara said, but that isn't sakana. That's an ones. Okay, and also strange. Well, we'll get to that. Right? So the answer is, again, the tznuos are back, right?
Yeah.
So we're always trying to protect the tznuos. What's fascinating is we're also trying to protect the prutzos. But, okay. So the Gemara is trying to explain the language based on that. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean they're going to be moser nefesh? They're going to give up their lives. The lidrosh shlehu.
The shlehu, the oneshari.
Tell them, darshan, be mefarsim, that they shouldn't give up their lives. Right? So the Gemara says, go ahead.
Yikaprutzos v'ganami kohanos.
What does that mean?
That there are prutzos and kohanos.
Prutzos will take advantage.
Right, and kohanos will be.
And they'll, you know, revel in the experience, you know, under the guise of this, you know, velidra shudar donas shari. Right? And kohanos, you know, still might be moser nafshom because they're going to be asuros lebalehem, even though it's a maisa onus. Okay? Go ahead. Then the Gemara says...
Viliakre gezera avida debatala.
Viliakre, right?
Gezera avida debatala.
Kanta drabanan mikam gezera lo akrina. Very, very fascinating, strong statements about gezeras drabanan. Like, you know, we live in an era where like people say, it's only drabanan. You know, drabanans are a big deal. Right. They're different than daraisas. But this Gemara is one of the very, very dramatic examples of just how far we don't want to take a drabanan off the books, even if we have to adjust for it. Okay. Ihachi.
Shishinami asi ubayi.
Yeah. Mispeke lo akar nafshe, v'sheni lo yichnos. No, mispeke lo akar nafshe, period. Okay. U'b'sheni lo yichnos, we said before.
Yeah, v'yimachas ones mutzer, my ones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just linguistically, that's not consistent, right? If it's the same thing, why do they call it two different by two different names? Basu.
Hasanagu hachamotzer.
Yeah. Also, the verbs are different. Nagu, which implies more choice, right? And mutar means that it's the mutar legamri.
Amarava de amri starts vabalair. Hehidami.
Liakev.
Lotricha.
The asi v'kava begimel. So then the v'kava kava. So then the Gemara says begimel mielichnos. Okay. So eventually, what's going on here? So the Gemara is saying these are economic issues. So we basically have three issues, right? One is sakana. The other is ones. And the other is financial. Okay? And these are the pressures that they faced, you know, when they were trying to maintain like a proper calendar for weddings. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Inami, just get it on the record,
Bibai Seima.
Maybe there's something else going on here completely in the second part, the onus part, my machmasa onus.
My machmasa onus, kidotaninan,
הרי שהיה פיתו אפוי ושפחו טבוח דיינו מזוג ומייס אבי שחסן אמא של קלה מכניסן את המייס לחדר ושחסן ושחל לחופה ובועל בילס מיצה בפורש.
So what happens here? You have this is what we call a chasen avel, right? A very sad situation. The wedding is planned. Everything is the caterer. Everything is out there. There'll be a huge hefsed if they have to cancel the plans, right? It's aviv shel chasen, ima shel kala, applying that different roles, right? You know, for the father plays a different role than the mother. You know, more for the chasen, less for the kala. I don't know if that's true today, but. That's what the Gemara is saying, at least in terms of indispensability. So we want to go ahead, we have to go ahead with this wedding, but it's a very tricky situation. It really tests, we're not going to discuss this now, but when we get back, we will spend a couple of days on this because it's a really fascinating thing. It really tests, emotionally and halachically, you know, two opposite, you know, but parallel institutions, right? Simchas Chasen V'Kala, which is Yontif T'David Ida, and Avelos. Right. They're, as I say, opposite parallels. I always like to point out, you know, the Yerushalmi says, and Rambam quotes it, you know, thinking that it's important, that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was metakein shiva simeh mishta, Moshe Rabbeinu was metakein shiva simeh avelos. One of the things that we'll see when we get back to it, but just not today, is that structurally, these really are parallel opposites, you know, on the level of pain and on the level of joy. Even, and this will become very important, even the, you know, the breakdown, you know, the, you know, first day has special status, the first 3 days, the 7 days, the 30 days, the 12 months, right? Those structures in time, those frameworks for one also are the frameworks for the other. And in my opinion, especially given, you know, Moshe Tikkun, that is not a coincidence. And I think it has profound meaning and importance. But we'll talk about that when we get to it. Either way, in this particular case, it's all tested because you have this guy who is a chasan, and he's, you know, in avelus. So in this particular case, if it's avu shel chasan v'yim shel kala, what we do is machnisin es hameis lecheder chasan es kala lechupa, and then the Gemara tells us bo bilas mitzvah uporesh. Right. So then, of course, the question becomes, why is it necessary to go that far? You know, again, that you don't want to. You want to make sure you get the food in and the meal in and the chasana in before the avelus starts. And the avelus, all things being equal, seems to start at the time of the kvura. But why do you need the bol bilas mitzvah part? Right? So that's just to get on the record, but we'll have a chance to speak about it then more, is again, we've spoken in a number of, you know, we talked about libol, we talked about, in general, you know, the role of erusin and nisuin and the matir of bia, and the difference of kiddushe bia and nisue bia, and so on. And, you know, we've talked about there being, you know, different components in the Ishus, you know, the Oser, the Matir, and so on. So, one of the things that we've seen is that, what is the status of Bilas Mitzvah? Is there any, is that a din in Piri Viridya? Is that a din in Nisuin? Is that just a din in, is that a different Shlab in the Ishus? Here is one of the main Gemaras, Bo Bilas Mitzvah Poresh, where it seems to be unnecessary and problematic, and yet the Gemara allows it, right? That seems to be one of the important examples of Bias Mitzvah being significant. Again, another example of it is a topic that we're going to get to also later, and that is the Sogev Osek B'Mitzvah Pater and a Mitzvah, and especially Tirdas Chasan, because of Be'ilas Mitzvah, what does that poter him from? Again, so is the Maisa Bia really a mitzvah in that sense? So there's this famous Tosas where Tosas says, Bilas mitzvah, korile bilas mitzvah, mishum besiv ki bo'alayich osayich, v'arminon ein isha koresis bris, alimisha osa osa kli. Then Tosas says, v'ayidei kach, midabek ba uboin lidei piri v'ridya, v'lohachi korile bila rishona bilas mitzvah. Tosas is addressing this question, like, why is this bilas mitzvah, and why, not only is it described that way, but why is it justified under these conditions? Right? Just let him do the chuppah, and then go straight to the avelus. So Tosas is saying, it's hard to know how to read the Tosas, but he starts out by saying things that have nothing to do with Nisuin, or Piriva Rabbi either. Kibolai Chosayich, Enisha Karesis Prisilimisha Osel Sukli. Sounds like these are part of the gradations of the, you know, of the intensification of the relationship of husband and wife. It's a shlav in the ishus, but not necessarily in the nesuin, and not necessarily connected to period. Then he says, "Va'yidei kach midabek ba." That part is fine. Right, that could stand. V'dabak b'ishto, in other words. And then uboin liday period rivia. So is uboin liday period? Is it number one of these different statements, or when he says the al yidei kach, is this a second point, or is it, you know, a reinforcement of the first point? And if so, is the uboin liday period rivia telling you, oh, no, this is all about period rivia? Right. Or is it telling you that even period rivia, or in addition, it's also mosif for period rivia, or that period rivia is also part of the davak and the relationship, okay, which I think is the view of the Rambam, as I've explained, you know, we mentioned that the Shiltos and the Rambam both seem to say that even though period rivia and kiddushin slash nesuin are two different mitzvos, but when the Rambam says lifros v'lirvos ba, and he also defines it as part of the mitzvahs ona, that's an itziv's ha'ara on the Shiltos, that it sounds like the Rambam thinks that even though they're separate mitzvos, right, they're also overlapping mitzvahs. In other words, a kedushin, which is not l'shem piri rivia, is a chisaron in the kedushin, and a piri rivia, which is outside of the framework of ishus, is a problematic piri rivia. Not that you're not mekayim it, but so again, what is Tosa saying here? Shidu Gubezis here, Alatar says no, it's more than that. The Bia Rishona, according to Tosis, really triggers the Shivas Mishta. It's part of the Hagdara of the Chuppah. So what role exactly Bilas Mitzvah plays is a question. Either way, then the Gemara goes on to say, keep going just one more line and then we'll go ahead. Yeah. So that we need to discuss also, exactly how that works, right? Yeah. I mean, we separate them. And then the Gemara is going to discuss this later on. This is part of the Gemara that goes to the question of Pirsa Nida, right? And whether or not, you know, Nida or Roy Labia is Chuppah. When with the Rishonim that we talked about in Chuppah, the Ramban, the Ra'ah, right? Some of the Rishonim, like the Ran, speak about Higiyazman Velonisu, Pirsa Nida. And they talk about the Ram Shita of Chuppah. The other group speak here on Dalet Amud Aleph, based on this, or the bottom of the page as well, Hu Yishana Ben Anashim, the Gemara says, Ki Kamar Pirsa Yishtanida. Right, it's this Gemara. Okay, so that also needs to be understood. The Ein Monin. Okay. In other words, the father of the chasen, the mother of the kala, because this is very tricky. Otherwise, you should do the avelus first. And then finally, Amar Afram Bar Papa.
Amar Chista Lo Shanu Ela Shenasa Mayim Agavi Basar, Aval Lo Nasa Mayim Agavi Basar Mizdavim.
Meaning, it's not just the father and the mother, but also the state of the preparations, whether or not you can, you know, put it in the freezer or not. Right? Amar Rava.
Rava Uvet Krach, Aval Kisha Nasa Mayim Agavi Basar Mizdavim.
Yeah, because there's always, you can always find somebody to sell it to in a big city. And Rapapa Ubikvar.
Ubikvar Afafishal Nasamayim Agabi Basar Lomizdale.
Because, you know, that's the opposite problem. It's a little town, and not everybody, you know, even if you can preserve it, but there aren't so many people making chasanas in a village. Okay?
Go
ahead. Umrashi could go Mata Bachasya, the Mapa Mikrach, right? Umafka. Mikvar. Okay, that's the Ishak of the Tari till now, and just think about the Bol Bilas Mitzvah Poresh and its role, and then we'll pick up on the Chasen Avel part another time. Okay, so now let's get back to the main thing that we want to talk about today and on Thursday, and that is that the Gemara here said are two things. Number one, the problem of Shas Hashmad, which I'm going to speak about second. First I want to get through the bigger question. Namely, if the Hegemon is making a Gzeira, and he's trying to force you to abandon religious principle, so why doesn't that trigger Yehori Vayavar? Why isn't that, you know, Sakana, right? Why don't you have to, why isn't it Arkasa de Masana? Or more? Okay, that's one issue, which the Rishonim deal with here, and the Mefarshim deal with here. There's an important sugya for that. Okay. Let's table that for the moment. Let's discuss the bigger question first. The Gemara says, You know, if the Hegemon said, you know, that B'sula Shanisas B'yomar V'tibol Hegemon T'chila, you know, that's the problem. Why is that a sakana? Because of the Tznuos? And then the Gemara says, V'lidro Shlehu Darnashari, we need to educate the Tznuos. We admire them, but we don't want them giving up their lives when, you know, gratuitously. Right? So we need to educate them that it's mutter. The question is, so what's the question? Jonah? That's what the Gemara says.
Yeah.
Okay. So two problems. The first problem is to say we'll deal with later, but, you know, what about Shas HaShema? Now, this is a more basic Kuah problem. What do you mean when they say, Belidu Shluhu Dusharis Onas Shari? What about Gimel Averos? Forget about Shas HaShema. That's already exotic. Right? But Gimel Averos, that's like, everybody knows that. We know that Gimel Averos are Yehoreg Ve'al Yavor. And one of the Gimel Averos is Gilei Arayos. What are the other two? Vodazara and Shvichas Damim. Right? So what do you mean by Lidosh Shlu Darnashari? It's not mutter at all. So this is where, let's just go through Tosis quickly first, and then we'll break it down. This is where Tosis gets into the Harig Vayavar Sugya. Go ahead, Bimtomar.
Bimtomar, Hamrin, Amperik Ben Sorer Amora, all Kol Averis Yavor Val Yeharig, Kutzmi Averis Pamei, Avos Kochavim, Vigilo Yerayas, Shitz Dan.
Yeah. And this is, seemingly, Gilei Arayos. So we have a very big problem in this Sugya. Okay. What's the answer? Let's get it on the record. Get the toast on the record first, and then we'll break it down. Batir to minutam.
The in chayavin misa al beilas mitzri derachmanan afkare lazarek de mitzri dechsev bezirmasusim zirmasam.
Excellent. So what does that mean? Rabbeinu Tam came up with a chiddush to explain this gemara. That is that bias akum is the way it's formulated here is bias achu akum. Right, ein chayavim misa al biasakum, drachmanan afkare lizare degon. So there's no yaharig val yavar. First thing Rabbeinu Tam says, there's no yaharig val yavar. Let's be careful how we read it. There's no yaharig val yavar for biasakum, and the reason for that is, or the evidence for that is, drachmana afkare. What does it mean, drachmana afkare lizare? It's not the chsam sofer, right? Right? Or of God. Okay? So what does it mean, Rachman Afkar El Zari?
It seems to mean that his Bia is...
Well, that's what we want to get from it, but what do the words Rachman Afkar El Zari mean?
No,
I just want to make the point. I mean, what are the...
Oh, that it makes it Hefker.
Not Hefker, but how would you... What does it mean legally? What does it mean? Rachman Afkar El Zari, as we'll see. There's no Yichus Legot. Right?
That's later what Rivam says.
Well, the Rivam says, I don't understand how you're quoting Achmana Afkar Lazari. It only means that there's no Yichus for a guy. Now, Rabbeinu Tam agrees that that's what it means. He just thinks that Ein Yichus the guy signifies that Ein Maisabia the guy. Okay, that's why I'm saying it's important. Rabbeinu Tam took a leap. And Rivam, it's not that the Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam argue what the words Achmana Afkar Lazari mean. Right, they both agree that refers in the Gemara when it's used to ein lo chayas, ein lo yichus. Okay, they totally agree about that. The question is, what is the significance of ein lo yichus? So, as we'll see, the Rivam will tell you ein lo yichus means ein lo yichus. On the contrary, there is bia, there's a maisa bia, there's chalos bia, but in terms of lineage, there's no yichus. Rabbeinu Tam seems to think that the fact that there is no lineage, that's a chiddush, right, indicates that there's no, had there been a Maisa Bia, there would have been lineage. Right? That's what's important here. Now, if you look at the Ritva, what he calls Rabbeinu Tam, so he says, he just adds another word, the Ein Bias Akum Gilui Arayos. Okay? Which is also because Gilei Arayos is the phrase that's used in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right, for the Gimel Averos. Do you have it there, Jonathan? Yeah, that's how he starts off. Now again, that's not such a big point. I mean, the Artos just says, you're not Chayv Limsar Satsmo. And the point is that there are three or four issues here. Maybe more. Regarding Biasako. Right. One is that the immediate issue which Tosis is interested in, which the Rishonim are interested in, is Yehari Vayavar. Right? Which, as you know, we could say for the Ritva, Gili Arayos, or Chi of Limsar Satzma. Okay, that's one issue. Right? Then Rabbeinu Tam, you know, brought in Ein Lo Yichus and assumed that if there's Ein Lo Yichus, then there's no Chi of Limsar Satzma. In 1 minute, we're going to be exposed to two other issues. Okay, which two issues, Jonah?
If let's say a woman has to be with a goy and then he converts, can she still marry him?
Okay, and what do we call that?
We call that
halakha terminology.
Isur labal, asur labal.
So there are four questions at least to be dealt with here, right? What is the status of Bias Akum regarding Yehari Vayavar? What is the status of Bias Akum regarding Yichus? What is the status of Bias Akum regarding Isur Labal in the context of Sota? Does she betray her husband? She's Neshesish. She had a relationship with a guy, right? Does that, Beratzon, let's say, does that, you know, create an Isur Labal, right? And what about the Isur Laboa? Now, the Isur Laboa, as we'll see in a moment, is a little trickier. Why is the Isur Laboa a little trickier? Because it's not Jewish. So, can there be an Isur Laboa of somebody who's not Jewish? So that's why, you know, we have to be talking about a case where he was Achakach Nizgaya. The problem is that if Achakach Nizgaya, does that prove anything about the beginning? Does it? Should it? Gabi? You could say Gershon is Gaier Kekata Chenolad. I mean, we usually do. So it's interesting. We'll see in a moment. And in the Sugya, somebody does. Who does? Rabbeinu Yechiel, excellent, quoted by the Ritva, and also quoted by the Mordechai, and also quoted by, and also who else?
Tosarash and
Sota. Okay. So it's particularly interesting, as we'll see in a moment, that it's not quoted in our Tosas. Or by the Rush, by the Tosa Rush, and Sota, but not by the Rush yet. Anyways, so far what the Rabbeinu, just let's break it down. Here to do our skira today, and we'll, you know, see what we can get to. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, Ein Chayav Misal Bilas Goy, there's no Yehar Goy Yavar. De Rachmana Afkare Lazare De Goy, there's no Yichus. Right? De Ksiv Zirmas Sosim Zirmasam. Go ahead, keep going. Vai Siraya. Yeah, a question, which anyways is a good question, frankly, right? But, you know, and all the Rishonim are bothered by that question. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there are three types of Yehari Vayavars. This is part of of the big topic. Right? One is the Gimel Averos. Let's assume for the moment the Gimel Averos are one. We might end up thinking that they're not one either. But let's say, as a category, they're Gimel Averos, right, and they're Yehari Vayavar. Then there's another one called Farhesia, right? V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. If the challenge is made public, Chil Hashem, Kiddush Hashem. And the third one is, right, Shas HaGzeiro or Shas HaShmai, Arkasa de Besan. Okay? So when the Gemara wants to discuss the propriety of Esther's behavior, so the Gemara says, V'ha Esther, this is in Sanhedrin, it was V'ha Esther, Farhesia have she should have had to give up her life instead of being involved with Ahasuerus, because everybody knew what was going on. She was Queen Esther, right? All the Jews certainly knew that she was Jewish. Maybe not Ahasuerus until the end, right? Maybe not Haman either. Pretty much not Haman, right? But you know, the Jews all knew she was a little Hadassah, you know, right? Wrong holiday for this time of year, but what, you know, so far Esther Farhesia, but the Gemara says, and the Gemara gives two answers. What are two answers the Gemara gives? Do you see it, Jonah?
Karka Olam,
which we'll get to in a minute, which means she was passive.
Right.
We'll get to exactly what it means. And what's the other answer?
Hanasatzma.
Excellent. Very good. Right? Hanasatzma means what? Achashverosh wasn't interested in being Mavir al Adas. Right? He did it. Hanasatzma. Okay. Good. Those are the two answers, Abai and Rava, in Sanhedrin. So what's Tosis proving from here? Tosis says, well, how come they asked from Farhesia? They should have said, Ha Esther, Gili Arayos Hava. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, we have a ready answer. The ready answer is, there's no Yehari Vayavar in Bias, Akum, and Achashverosh was an Akum. Right? Good. Okay. Umitokach, then comes the extension.
Tokach, Peter Rabbeinu Tam, Abbas Yisrael, Shehimira, Uva Ale, Aleha, Oved Kochavim, the Kaima, the Oso, Oved Kochavim, Kishinis Gair. So Shaykh Lemar, Chalabab, Chalaboa.
Yeah. So this is a Kiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, an additional Kiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, and that is that the Iser Leboel does not apply to Biasako. But as we say, it can only take, it can only be in a case where there's already Geirus, and then you're just scratching your head, like, shouldn't Rabbeinu Tam just be right because Gershon Sky could cut to Shinolad? And indeed, that's what Rabbeinu Yechiel in the Ritva says. Although it's not so simple there either, if you look at the language. He says it, and in the Tosa Rush. Why do I say it's not so simple, Yonathan? Is it so simple? I mean, I would have liked it to be more simple, but I'm kind of grateful that it's not. Actually, my preferred state would have been if one of the Rishonim's quote would have been simple, and then the other one's quote would have been complicated, a little more complicated. Say again? No. We'll get to that in a second, whether there is or isn't. Yeah. The language, especially in Tosas HaRush, it seems like there's an integration of two things going on, and maybe even in Rabbeinu Yechiel. What's the language of Rabbeinu Yechiel on the Ritva? Go ahead. You have it? Yeah. So what's the problem that I'm pointing out? What did you need him to say those first few words? What did you need to say that at the time, you know, as a non-Jew, there was no Issa Leboel? Since there was no Issa Leboel as a non-Jew, therefore we say Gershon is Geyer, Kakatan, now we'll say Gershon is Geyer, Kakatan, Shinolad. Why not just say, you know, and if there was an Issa Leboel, as, let's say a non-Jew is subject to Issa Leboel, in addition to being a non-Jew, also an Issa Leboel. Okay? But that person doesn't exist anymore. He used to be Bartholomew, and what is he now?
Baruch.
I was going to say Ben Sion, but okay. Right? So you're probably right. Right? So the point is that who cares whether there was an Issa Leboel there? Right? Similarly, the Tosa Rush, let's just get it all in and then we'll talk about it. Right? The Tosa Rush starts off with, what do you mean there's no Issa Leboel? Because he's non-Jewish. Who says that idea, by the way, in general, that there's no Issa Leboel for the independently?
With
the rush here, right? The rush, unlike the Tosa Rush in Sota, the beginning of the Tosa Rush in Sota also says that oh. Right, I'm reading from the Tosa Rush and Sota, but it's the Rush here also, the same thing. Upsak sho Rabbeinu Tam nearly lekayim velo mitamei. Right? So what's what I like his psak, but not for those reasons. You could have said the same thing about Rabbeinu Yechiel if it was just pure, you know, Gershon Iskar Kakatan Shanola Dami, frankly. Okay? But what's Rush's idea, Robbie?
So the way I understood it is that there's some general understanding just because it's Issa Leboel doesn't mean.
No, okay, that's something. Yeah, that's part of the issue here. But that isn't the point.
Why
is it always Leboel?
Because the
even now that he's a ger, there's no Issa Leboel, says the Rush here, without the Rabbeinu Yechiel edition. Okay. Why?
No.
It says not mitam Rabbeinu Tam. Shua.
Because
what?
Because
yeah, because in order to be also Leboel. Says the Rush, right? It has to be that's the only thing on the table. That's the exclusive focus. If he's usher to her anyway, for some other reason, like the fact that he's off limits because he's a guy, then there's no Issa Leboel. So there never was an Issa Leboel. Right? But it sounds like the Rush is saying, now that's a Kiddush, and he gets that from, where does he get it from? Shua? Also
tomorrow.
The Gemara in Sota that says what? Oh, Gemara seems to say the Mekanin, we'll get to this in a second anyway, Ayudei over Kokabim. Meaning, if he, the husband, said, don't you dare, you know, be Mesiached with that guy. He suspects her. Right? Terrible things. He says, if you're Miyached with the guy, right, that's going to be Kinui. Right? Part of the process of Kinui is Tiyur. So the Gemara seems to say that Kinui can be accomplished Ayudei Goy, with Goy as well. So the Gemara says, maybe you would think that this wouldn't be true, Shua, right? Why? Because since as a guy, the Iser... Go ahead, sorry. I asked you, so you're right. Yeah, I just get excited.
I was looking at the computer instead of you.
What? Oh.
I was looking at the computer.
Yeah, no. It's my, you know... I want you to say it, but I'm you know, too excited. So. Go.
So it says that the we would have thought that Kinui applies only when that Bila is what's being hosted. Meaning that the Echabal applies only when that's the Bila that's being hosted.
Yeah. Or at least the Kinui, that there should only be Kinui when there's an Iser based on this. Right, not already, not based on her being an Eishes Ish, rather than on the fact that he's a guy. The fact that he's a guy, right, should determine that there's no Kinui for Eishes Ish, right? That's the Havamina. Kamash Malan, no, Aval Bichain Mekanin Ba'akum. Now, the truth is that a proof positive for what the Rosh is saying? Therefore the Rosh says, you see from there that the Iser Leboel, right, is linked to this being the exclusive Iser. If it's confused by him already being, you know, Asur to her, there's no Iser Leboel, in the same way that the Gemara had a Havamina, that there would be no Kinui. So the way the Rosh understands the Gemara is whatever the Gemara is saying about Kinui certainly applies to the Iser Leboel, right? And even the Maskana, when it doesn't apply to Kinui, it still applies to the Iser Leboel. Sure, is that foolproof? Number one, you could say the maskana is the same maskana, right? If there's kinui lagai, then maybe there's an isul abol too, right? That's number one. Number two, in the opposite direction, is it possible, we'll think about this, we'll discuss this on Thursday, is it possible that maybe only in the context of kinui the Gemara had a thought that there has to be an exclusivist, you know, Iser Boel. But maybe in the actual Iser Boel, right, outside of Kinui and Stira, it's different. I'm kind of raising the question, but which is raised anyway, because Lahalacha, we say there's Kinui Begai, even if we're saying there's no, the Rosh is saying there is Kinui Begai, right, even though there's no Iser Boel Begai. That's what the Rosh is saying. So isn't he mechalik between Kinui and Iser Leboel? He's just impressed with the Havamina. He's saying the Havamina, by limiting Kinui, is the Maskana in the Iser Boel. That's point number one that Shua was making. How do you know? Maybe it's Haba Hatalia, right? But what I'm saying is go further than that. If you're already conceding that you might be mechalik between Kinui and Stira process, and stam an Iser Sota of a violation of HSH, a real violation of HSH, in other words. Let's say Ede Tuma, whatever you want to call it. Once you're conceding that there might be differences, so maybe this whole Havamina is only by Kinui. Not that the Havamina by Kinui is true for Boel. Say the whole Havamina is only true by Kinui. We'll have to explain that. We'll see if we can explain that. Okay? For that matter, the Rush and Tosis and Rush in Sota, of course, and some other Rishonim too, but not our Tosis here, interestingly enough. Right? When he wants to disprove Rav Eder Tam, Shua quotes that Gemara in Sota, Daf Chavav, namely Mekanin Al Yedei over Kochavim. Right? The Rush. Anybody, you have it, Robbie? Go ahead. Rush quotes, after he quotes other rayas, he quotes this raya. Says, how could Rabbeinu Tam say that Bias Akum is Kibias Behema, and there's no Isul Boel and all these things? You have it, Ellie? Yeah, go ahead.
Rabbeinu Tam says, Barak, Arusa Mekanin Ayde, with Klevin,
That's the Rosh quoting, right?
Yeah.
In our Tosis, there's no mention of Makan Nali Deo Bekachavim. Right? So, again, we'll see about that. Okay. The point I'm trying to make is that it's important to separate out, you know, what's Mukhrak and what's not Mukhrak and what each person is saying. So basically, we have this Chiddush. Well, let's start again. Rabbeinu Tam said a Chiddush that there's no Yeharig Vayavor Babias Goy. We'll soon see that the mainstream Rishonim disagree with that. Number two, he brought a raya from something that everybody agrees to, but they don't all think proves the point, namely that Bias Goy, there's no Yichus. Rabbeinu Tam somehow felt if there's no Yichus, it's because there would be Yichus if it was a proper Maisa Bia. If it's not Yichus, that means there's no proper Maisa Bia, and we'll soon see, as Jonah Kor correctly pointed out, that the Rivam, that the Ri, says, what are you talking about? There's no Yichus. Doesn't mean there's no Bia. Two different levels. Okay, that's point number two. Point number three is that Rabbeinu Tam says, v'hu adin, there's no Yisil Boel, because of Biasakum Kibias Behem. As far as that is concerned, on the record, so there are, let's say, three ways, let me say, to agree with Rabbeinu Tam on that psak, but to disagree with the rationale. You can either ignore the formulation and just quote Rabbeinu Yechiel and say, what are you talking about? There's no Issa Leboel for a Ger Shemiz Gayer, you know, who was the other man, right? But that's because Ger Shemiz Gayer Kekatan Shanola Dami, plain and simple. That would have been, if you'd asked me, woke me up in the middle of the night and said, give a quick, justification why there's no Issa Leboel for Ger Shemiz Gayer. I would have said, Gershon is Gair, Kakatan Shinola Dami. Pashtas. Okay? The fact that, you know, it's not quoted by most Rishonim is remarkable. It needs to be explained. I think there's a very good explanation. We get to it today, or we'll get to it tomorrow, but, Thursday, but we'll get to it. That's one. Number two is the Rush. Right? The Rush here, who says, Rabbeinu Tam's right, but for a totally different reason. What's he right about? Because there's no Issa Leboel to this guy, the Shas Maisa, because Issa Leboel is only when it's an exclusivist Issa. Okay, that is an interesting idea which we need to understand. What is it? Ain Yisra Chal Issa? What is this? Or does that have to do with the nature of Issa Leboel? What do I mean by the nature of Issa Leboel? Issa Leboel is a very tricky thing. We're not talking about the fact that she was Asura to him at the time. We're talking about the fact that they sinned together, even though they're all going to do tshuva and be tzaddikim, gemurim, etc. Le'olam va'ed, they can't be together again. It's a very fascinating thing, the Issa Leboel. Right? What kind of thing is that? So is the point somehow, is it Tzigzeres HaKasuv? Fine. Could be. Or it's a kind of a knas spillover. You ruin this guy's marriage. You're not going to enjoy the fruits of that. Kind of a siag daraisa, an onishta, whatever you want to call it, lo yechote niskar kind of a thing. Broke up the marriage. Okay, so it isn't per se the Issa Leboel, right? It's novea from the Issa Lebaal. Okay, we'll see what Lashon is about that too. Then you'd have to ask yourself, you know, can you ever have an Issa Leboel without an Issa Leboel? Can you ever have an Issa Leboel without an Issa Leboel? Again, if the Mechayev is a kind of a Knas Doraisa, Lo Yechot Niskar, etc., then you should never be able to have an Issa Leboel without an Issa Leboel. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's a sufficient cause, it may just be a necessary cause. Right? No, you maybe still have been able to have an Issa Leboel where there's no Issa Leboel, but you'd have to explain why. There's another possibility, and that is the Issa Leboel is by virtue again of the fact that you were the rival. Not that you ruined his marriage, just that role itself, right, is generates an Issa. But for that you have to really have been a candidate. You have to be in the parsha. Right? If you're usher it, she can't have a relationship with you anyway. Right? Then there's no din in Boel. It's a violation of Baal, but there's no yichus to the Boel. That's, oh, you jumped the gun, you know, if you're divorced, you want to marry this guy, Mela. But, you know, by having a relationship with him within your own marriage, not called Iniskar. Not talking about that. You know, that forever excludes you. You can't have, in other words, it has to do with the relationship. This started off, in other words, in other words, it's not so much a punishment and a spillover from what you did to the husband, what the two of you did to the husband. It's more of a, you know, you can't be a future Baal. It's a din in the second marriage, let's say, more than it's a din in the first marriage. But for that, maybe, the point is, you would have been a great candidate, but not when your first relationship was Betoras Boel. But let's say you're Mufka as a candidate anyway. Right? Because you're just not in the radar screen. So we don't look at you that way. We don't look at, oh, this relationship, it started off, you know, with poison. You can't turn that relationship into a marital relationship. Now, of course, this perspective sees the Issa the Boel more independently anyway. I'm not saying that it's not connected at all to the Issa the Baal, but it's not because of the Issa the Baal. Maybe it's a little bit. I mean, you poison their relationship, you know, it poisons your future relationship, not as a knasta. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just totally independent. But the point is, you have to be a candidate to say, oh, you jumped the gun. You know, that's unacceptable. That ruin, there's no kedusha that can novea, you know, from such a beginning, even if everybody did tshuva. Right? Okay. Either way, that's kind of what the Rosh is saying, in a way, right? That there's an Issa l'Boel. To be an Issa l'Boel, you have to be an exclusive Issa l'Boel. The focus has to be on you as an improper future marriage candidate now, because of your relationship now. Oh, you're Mufka anyway. But the Rosh says nothing about Gershon Iskari Kakot and Shinola. In the Rush, Exuvus. If you read carefully Rabbeinu Yechiel and the Ritva and the Tosas HaRush, then the Tosas HaRush has the beginning of the Rush, the one Sota, and then he says Vasvar Notzenes Shein Lasar Olav Mishum Davar Shanasa Kodim Shenis Gayer Vikakotin Shenola Dami Barishonus Lo Tiskarena. So again, that's a separate line. Or is it a combination? And my reading of Rabbeinu Yechiel also is a kind of a combination. Because you were not a candidate before, so don't think that it doesn't make a difference, because now you are. It's a kind of, oh, it's Ein Yisr Chal Al Yisr. And now the Yisr HaRishon is Paka. Right? So there's no problem of Ein Yisr Chal Al Yisr anymore. The answer is, no. Gershon is Gayer Kakotan Shanola. There's some sort of combination, in other words. We care about what happened before. Or we won't take what happened before despite the change, because the change has a double meaning. On the one hand, it may brought you into candidacy, but on the other hand, it did it in such a way that that emphasizes how you're a totally different person. Gershon Iskari Kakot Shanola. Okay. But going back to the Rush again, what I was saying with my conversation with Shua a moment ago. The point is, this halacha itself, the Rush's perspective, is that something which is so obvious, or is that something in which you might be mechalek between the process of kinui and stira, as we'll explain, and the betrayal of tuma, of sota, of actual sota, not chashash, in either direction. Okay? Are we clear so far? Okay, let's continue. So let's see what's going on. There's one question we still haven't dealt with Rabbeinu Tam, which we still need to discuss with 1 second. Go ahead. So this is what Rabbeinu Tam did. He was matir. There were many people who agreed with him, right? We just have three possible agreements, mostly, but for different reason. And now we're about to find out that most of the Barishonim disagreed with him. Okay? And they think that there is an Isser LeBoel. there's an Isur LeBaal despite Gershon Iskaris Kekotin Shanoa Dami, right? And despite the fact that B'Shaito, right, there wasn't an Isur LeBaal? Or are they saying that there really was an Isur LeBaal? And the Havamina Bakino just is just a Havamina, right? Hard to know. Keep going. Wait, are we up to there? Yeah, okay. They nearer.
Very near the Rivam, to how they bias of a Kochavim, Ne Esra Labailak, the Amar Hafa, to Ika Prutzos.
Yeah. What's he saying?
So that in our Gemara.
There is an Isa Labal.
Right, there is an Isa Labal, because we see that in our Gemara it says there are Prutzos, that would make the loss of the Hafa.
Yeah. Uperka Isha Shenesar Malal.
Gabe Haisha Shen Nechbisha Bena of the Kochavim, Amrina Diburatzon, Asur Labailak.
Yeah. Also implies, even though it's non Jew. Ramanami be Megillah.
Kasher avadati avadati. Kasher avadati b'ayis b'ayis abba. Avadati mincha.
Right.
Alma.
The gabi b'ayla.
Lo chashiva b'ilas.
Goy k'bias behema.
Ruadin laboa. Apagav de'ein zinus lebehema. De'ein b'ias behema poselas v'aseras
kanana. If you want to take the actual paradigm of b'ias behema, it just doesn't work here. Now, there are two things to comment on in this continuation of Tosis. Right. One is, what is Tosis really saying? What is Tosis saying about Rabbeinu Tam? Before we get to what they're saying about themselves, what do I mean? But yeah, what's the issue here? What's the question to ask? What does the Rivam think about Rabbeinu Tam? Meaning what? What does Rivam think about Rabbeinu Tam regarding the Isur Labal?
There is Isur Labal.
That there is an Isur Labal. And then he's saying, well, even Rabbeinu Tam has to concede. There are two ways to read Tosis, basically. Right? One is that the Bali Tosis are saying Rabbeinu Tam holds that Bias Akums can be as Behema. Right? And that applies Leboel. It also should apply Lebal, because if a person had an involvement with a Behema in his marriage, right, if she had an involvement with her with a Behema, it certainly wouldn't be very appropriate. Okay, but it's a Tananisa Sota. Right? So Rabbeinu Tam obviously holds, when he says Bias Hakum, we're taking him at his word, that there's no Isur LeBaal and there's no Isur LeBaal. But there are plenty of Gemaras that prove that he's wrong about the Isur LeBaal part. And V'hu Adin, he's wrong about the Isur LeBaal part. Because it's all the same issue. Namely, is this considered by Sabia? Or is it considered Behema, Bias Behema? And it's all or nothing. End of story. We can prove from Baal, which Rabbeinu Tam necessarily, right, rejects, that not only is Baal wrong, but that Boel is wrong. Okay? Who read it that way? We're not sure about Tosis. It's just hard to know. The Trumas HaDeshen has a very famous piece where he's mistapek about the Baalei Tosis view of Rabbeinu Tam. The Meiri, here, Alatar, really read Rabbeinu Tam this way. Miri says Rabbeinu Tam holds Bias Akum can be as Behema, and there is no Isur Labal either. But that's just plain wrong, because there are so many Gemaras. If it's wrong for this, it's wrong for that, because it's Habaha Talia. However, Pashtus, I agree with Tovia, and this, certainly the Ritva says this explicitly. You have the Ritva open again still? And others in the Shuka Betza say it explicitly too. Yeah, they quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying that. Yeah, the Rabbeinu Tam agrees that there's an Isur LeBaal. So all the rayas that there's an Isur LeBaal are not rayas against Rabbeinu Tam. But the argument against Rabbeinu Tam is, listen, Rabbeinu Tam, if there's an Isur LeBaal, there has to be an Isur LeBoel. And that argument itself, we can find subtly two different formulations, as we could have anticipated logically that there are two different formulations. One is, like the Tosis here, v'hu adin, meaning, I don't understand, if Rabbeinu Tam concedes that there is bias, akum is considered maisa bia le'inyan isa labal, and it's not bias behema, then hu adin, why are we being mechalik between isa labal and isa laboel? It's a behema legabe aboel, but it's Adam legabe Abal. That doesn't seem consistent. However, a number of the Bali Tosas and Shas, and here, and in the different versions, have like what the Rush has. What does the Rush have? I think Rabbi's in charge of the Rush. Yeah. Not Vahu Adin, but... That's what the Rabbeinu Tam seems to be saying, and the Rush is challenging him Gufa on that point. Who has the language? Not Vahu Adin. What?
Rush in general thinks that you can't have that
power. Can or can't?
Can.
Well, I mean, when he wants him to kind of thing in the end, but not when he... Not initially when he's challenging, right? Here, 1 second. The Kivan Shasura Labal Asura Gam Laboel Mi Vinitma Vinitma. Notice how Arctosis doesn't quote Vinitma Vinitma. Doesn't say anything, you know, Echad Labal V'Echad Laboel. It says V'Hu Adin. What's the difference between Kivan and quoting Vinitma Vinitma and saying Echad Labal V'Echad Laboel and just saying Hu Adin? In one sense, it's a shiur in the objective performance of Isabia. In the other one, it's basically a statement that says you just can never separate Baal and Boel because the mechayiv of Issa the Boel, which is a strange thing, is the loyo hechote niskar of Labal. Right? Yeah.
He's quoting the Rebbe here.
Yeah, 100%. I meant his quote of the Rebbe. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it clear. No. In the end, we know that he's mechalek because the whole point is he says, I'm going to be mechayim Rabbeinu Tam's Peirush, you know, but for a different reason. And it's a technicality that there's no Issa Boel, according to him, and we can argue about that too. I mean, the Rebbe ends up saying, what does the Rebbe have to assume? Number one, both things. Right? Number one, that the Issa Boel, I'm sorry, either I should say, that, not both things. Either the Issa Boel is Noveah from the Issa Baal, that's the Mechayiv, like we explained before, and that has other consequences, right? Or that Hu Adin, right? That the common denominator is Bias Akum can Bias Behema or not. Let's continue just for a moment. Keep going.
Yeah.
And what does Rebbeinu Tam say about that? He denies that that's what the Gemara means. Chas v'shalom. But he just says, well, why is there no Yichus? There's no Yichus because there's no Ma'i. The Kiddush of Rebbeinu Tam about Yichus is that Yichus is Noveya from Ma'isabia. Right? And Rebbe says, no. I'm a Chudai Kar, I'm a Chudai Kar. So the relationship, so there's a lot going on here. Where are we up to? Okay, so let's get to Yishomer just very quickly for a moment. Just get to the end of it, and then we'll, I want to go back to Bias Akum, but let's get it on the record. What's the other, so how do you read the Gemara if you don't like Rebbeinu Tam? Right? That's the question. You need to give an alternative. You can't just be a negative campaigner. Right? Okay, so what's the answer? Karka Olam. Okay, go ahead.
Below of the Maisa, Kidimishani Perkansor Mora. Esther Karka Olam Haisa.
Same question.
Right. The Pshita Lay, the Ika Lishnuye Karka Olam.
Ooh. What do you make of that? Keep going, one more line.
The Ain La Limsor Asma, the Ain La Limsor Asma.
Keep going.
The Inyan Chil Hashem. Lo haya nira lo sheyovil tam de karka olam. Mashani karka olam haisa vafilu chilo Hashem leka.
What do you make of this? Is it an important analysis of Tosis or just saying over the Gemara?
Very important.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you on this one. I was going to say, do I deserve? I'm trying really hard. Okay, so what? In what way? I mean, why is it important? What's he saying here that's interesting, that's intriguing?
That so he brings in the fact that despite you would think that the Gemara had no problem with Kilui Raias. The whole question was
so basically what Tosis is saying in a very very quiet and even subtle way is that
Karka Olam can even override.
Okay, that's a fact, but I mean, what's the conceptual importance of what Tosis is doing here? The way he's formulating it and saying
it is a test.
A what?
It's a test.
What do you mean, a test?
The strength of Karka Olam.
Tosa is basically saying what? That Karka Olam is going to neutralize Gilei Arayos, the Gimel Averos, and Karka Olam is going to neutralize Kilashen. what's the implication of that, which isn't so obvious?
That there's two parts to...
That these are two different dinim.
Right.
In other words, that Gimel Averos, the Pashtus, is not Midin Chilul Hashem. Right? That's if, basically, as we said, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has these three models. There's Gimel Averos, right, which has three examples, then it has Farhesya, and it has Shas Hashma. And the question we want to ask ourselves, whenever you have three models of something, remember, this isn't just three models, I mean, this is a monumental sugya, right? Lemaisa, and conceptually. Chai bohem v'lo shiyamas bohem. We're talking about the sanctity of life, right? You know, we go very far with that. Shmir Shabbos, where's Ellie? Nish from the Kleine Zachen, Shmir Shabbos, huh? Savada. Anyways. Ellie said I should try to give like a whole shiur in Yiddish one time. Yeah. So I took German in Yeshiva College, so I'm quite equipped. So basically, Shmir Shabbos, as we discussed last year, right? Well, to you, Mumer Lechalos Shabbos and Mumer Lechol Torah Kula, right? I mean, the Rambam in the last halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Lamed, what is it, halacha Tes Vav, Tes Ayin, something like that, right? In his way, and Rashi and Chulin in his way, as we discussed. This is, Shabbos is comparable to Avodah Zarah. That's basically what the Rambam says in that last, it's a kind of a dialectical, relationship. You want to ask what's the more chamor, Isser in the Torah. There are three candidates, often. Right? Avodah Zarah, Rotzeach, that's a Rambam's common Nichus Ratzeach, right? And Shabbos, right? Gili Arayos, obviously is in the mix too. But in terms of being Mumer Lachol Torah Kuli, Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, Pikoch Nefesh Adocha Shabbos V'Chai Bohem. The Yerushalmi says that somebody who thinks he's such a tzaddik that he's not going to he's going to let somebody die on Shabbos rather than violate Arezim Mitzchayi B'Nafsho. The same phrase, by the way, that the Rambam uses. For Avar Velo Nerag in a case, I'm sorry, for a person who's Nerag Velo Avar, when he's supposed to be Yavar Velo Yahareg. Ram says, Areza Meschai Benafsho. He got it from that Yerushalmi. Areza Meschai Benafsho is a loaded term. We talked about it in the past. So Meschai Bahem is big stuff. Both in terms of Chalel Shabbos Achas or the Tishmar, but Chalel Halacha Achas, live to fight another day kind of idea, the utilitarian aspect, but also just the intrinsic part of it, Olam Mala, right? So Yaharig Val Yavar, like there's a huge microscope or spotlight on the Yaharig Val Yavar issues, right? And the rule generally is V'chai Bohem V'lo Sheyomis Bohem, because if you're allowed to violate Shabbos and all these things, obviously the clinging to life is huge, which we know it is. So the exceptions really need to be justified. Like, how do we understand them? And you have these, three cardinal, exceptions. Then you have Farhesya. And then you have Shas Hashmad. So the question is, there are three different concepts, two different concepts, one different concept, one concept that's expressed in different ways. What is it exactly? The Chiddush of Tosus is that Tosus is telling you, I might have thought Karka Olam might work for Gili Arayos, but it's not so obvious that Karka Olam is going to work for Chilul Hashem. Meaning, seemingly, that Gimel Averos, or at least Gili Arayos, is not Midin Chilul Hashem. In other words, what's the difference? They're both Midin Chilul Hashem. There are basically two ways to look at the Gimel Averos, right? One is the way the Ramban looks at it. We'll discuss this more on Thursday. One is the way the Ramban formulates it. I think he's the first to formulate it so explicitly. In the Ramban in Mochamos in Sanhedrin, of Ayin Dalet. And that is, anybody see it yet? No? Do you have any Psachim people? So left? Psachim Tarka? Jason?
Yeah, I think he's the one who's
the two words. Chomer Saveiro. You could say it, Yaakov? Okay. That's the language of the Ramban. And it got picked up then by the Ran in Sanhedrin and Rabbi David Bonfil, you know, as well. But I think the original formulation is the Ramban. Ramban says the reason that Yechayiv Liharig Velo La'avor is because V'chayiv Bohem Velo Shiyamus Bahem, there's no heter, Pikuach Nefesh, in these three cases. The Chumra Suaveira is so severe that not even the preciousness of human life, and not even the utilitarian, you know, live to fight another day, live to preserve more mitzvos, live to preserve Avodah Zarah Gilui Aroos and Shfichus Damim another day. Even that doesn't justify overcoming the Chumra Suaveira of the Gimel Averos. That's one explanation. Right? The other explanation is, just like Farhesia is Midin, Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, I may revise this a little bit, but the Pashtus is that Farhesia, I mean the Gemara says it, it certainly also is, the motivating factor is Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, that's why Farhesia, V'dashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, Osechalu Es Shem Kodshi B'soch B'nei Yisrael, right? So too, what you might say is, well, when it comes to Gimel Averos, Mitzad Chumra So Avera, maybe there would be a Heter Pikuach Nefesh. But, violating even Bitzina, most Averos, it takes a Farhesia to generate so much Chil Hashem. The quotient of Chil Hashem that's generated by Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Shfichus Damim doesn't require an audience. So then what we're saying is that Gimel Aver is also Midin Chil Hashem. So then what Tosa says would be much, not impossible to say, as I'll explain, but very difficult. The Pashas of Tosa is Tosa saying Farhesia is one topic. That's Kiddush and Chil Hashem. Gimel Aver is something else. That's what Tosa means when they say Karka Olam Zadin. You might thought that Karka Olam Zadin in the Maisa Avera, which is connected to the Chumras Avera. So if you're passive, the Chumras Chetzah Shel Avera is still there, but at least the Chumras Maisa Avera, right, has been mitigated. But if it's about, you know, the scandal quotient, Chil Hashem, so passive, active, maybe that's not Kamash Malan, even in terms of the way that people respond and react and perceive. Even then, there's a difference between violating Bekumbase and violating B'Shev Al Tasa. But two different dinim. Okay? Anyways, that's what's important about Tol. Let's continue the end of the Tosis for a second.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's a different question there.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
I skipped.
So we say Minashim Ba'ohel Tivorach. Right, about her. These are big issues, fascinating issues. Anyways, so let's bikitsur, let's say something broad first and then go back, because we were already touching on some issues. But the point is that the Gemara says here religious luba on the Shari. The Rishonim are bothered what happened to the rule of Yehorig Valyavar. Right? Tosis gives two answers. Right? One is Bias Akum Kibias Behemar Rabbeinu Tam, which we're going to analyze more fully in just another minute. Although we have to end soon today, but we'll pick up with this. The other is Karka Olam. The Karka Olam answer, right, seems to be predicated, I'm not saying it's impossible to read otherwise, but seems to be predicated on a difference between the Mechayiv of Chil Hashem for Farhesia, and probably Chumras HaAveira, right, for the Gimel Averos. We should note that the Rambam, Reb Chaim makes a Sa'ara, the Rambam does not quote Karka Olam factor at all. possibly doesn't believe in that. Chaim certainly thought he didn't believe in that. So obviously it's not a good answer for the Rambam. There's another answer that's given, at least one other answer that's given to this question, by the Meiri Alatar, based on some views of the Rishonim and Sanhedrin. What's that? Anybody? A third answer, just to get it on the record. Yeah? Well, Re'eu v'lo is similar to Biasakum. Okay, well, we'll talk about that, but that's similar, just a totally different answer. I'll share? Yeah, so that's what the Meiri says here, and in Sanhedrin. What's it based on? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, and whose Shita? Well, is it Mechudash, or is this the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Good. By Rava argue whether the answer to Esther Farhesia is Anas Atzmor Karka Olam. Fine. But why am I saying it's more than that here? Why is it Mechudash? Okay, that's more practical. I mean, it was fine. Presumably, that part we can explain. But there's something big that you're missing, or maybe you think it's obvious. But well, what's the big point that you're missing? What does the Gemara say? Hanos Atzmo. Esther Farhesia. Did the Gemara say ever that Hanos Atzmo is a factor in Gimel Averos? It didn't say by Karka Olam either, but that's what Tosas is basically asking. Tosas says, well, it's Kal v'chomer. If Karka Olam is going to get you, they didn't need to say it because it's obvious. Right? That's what Tosas says. It's less obvious about Farhesia. Would you, Asher, have said the same thing about Hanos Atzmo? Meaning Hanos Atzmo, that it's a Ptur in Gimel Averos? Of course. But maybe there's a discussion between Abai and Rava. Is it going to help you for Farhesia? You comfortable with that? Maybe? But maybe. Good. Really? But you don't want to be forced into that. Or do you? Okay, why? Well, is anybody uncomfortable? I'm uncomfortable. Abby. Say again? Yeah, exactly. That's what we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, if you take the Ramban's view of Chumras Avera, does it make any sense whatsoever to say that Hanos Atzmo is a factor? I mean, that Karka Olam can be a factor either in the Chil Hashem or in the Chumras Maisa Avera, if not Chepsa Shol Avera. It's totally understandable, right? But when did we discuss it? I remember we discussed it last year, didn't we? In what context? I remember. Okay. But in terms of Chumras, very good though, Chumras Avera, this is basically where the Ramban formulates, you know, the Chumras Avera idea. What happened was, the Balamor, this is a Provence thing, the Balamor and the Ravid, in the Kosov Shom, suggest that, again, the answer to Esther Farhesia instead of Esther Giliarayos is that Giliarayos is not Yehorig Val Yavor in Hanos Atzmo. The Meiri is just picking up on that Shita. Just that Meiri here happens to be the Meiri. We're not a Valamari, we're not a Verited here. Okay? So that's where the Ramban in Mochamos in Sanhedrin says, how could that be? That doesn't make any sense at all. Hanos Atzmo is a factor in Gimel Averos. If you want to say Hanos Atzmo is a factor in Kiddush Hashem and Farhesia, and there's a debate about Shas Hashmad, which we'll maybe have time to get into. We haven't talked about Shas Hashmad yet, where it fits in. Is it a third category? Is it one of the two? Which two? Right? But the Ramban says, Gimel Averos, Chumras Avera. What does it have to do with whether he's motivated? Hanos Atzmo is a motivation. Can motivation play a role in Chilul and Kiddush Hashem? Sure. Because part of the, if people understand he's a hedonist, he can't control himself. Or he doesn't want to control himself. But this isn't about religious conviction. right? It's not a test of religious, of the, you know, the, he's trying to test Klal Yisrael to see, you know, how loyal they are to their religion, and they're failing miserably, you know, to prove that their loyalty is the most important thing. No! He couldn't care less. He's a hedonist. He wants personal pleasure. You're not giving him a religious victory. That's Hanos HaAtzmo. You might say, okay, fine, it's still a Chil HaShem. Fine. As a factor in Chil HaShem, Hanos HaAtzmo makes sense. But the Ramban says, what does it have to do with Gimel Averos? It's a fascinating Ramban. I mean, the Ramban also says there, this is a bit of the puzzle. There are two main Yehorik Valyav or Gemaras, or applications. One is the main is Sanhedrin Ein Dalid, right? That's the case of an Anos. Guy puts a gun to your head, says, you do this, or I'll kill you. That's the Gemara there. What's the other Gemara? Gabe. No, Yuma's like, not really. I mean, what's the other, like, scenario? A little bit. It is a little bit, you're right. But I wouldn't say Yuma. Especially you shouldn't say Yuma. Gemara M'sachim. Okay. Which Gemara M'sachim? The second Perek. Gemara M'Perek Kol Shah. That's what I said before, were there any M'sachim? Jason was around M'sachim, right? Yeah. The Gemara in Kol Shah is the second big sugya. But Kol Misrapin, right? Chutz Me'atze Asherah. Then you have the Gemara quotes the same psukim, right? So the Ramban has a terrific line in Mechamos where he says, again, we have to run, so we're doing all this as a drive-by. But Ramban says, how could the Balamor and the Raivin, how could all these people think that Hanos Atzmo is going to make a difference? What about the whole suga Bakol Misrapin Chutz Miatzei Ashera, which the Gemara goes on to explain, is about Azar Gilia Raivin or Shvikostamin? Right? If the guy is dying, and the only therapy that's going to save him is Avodah Zarah Gilui Raos and Shvichas Damim, that isn't Hanos HaAtzmo. That's Ramban's argument. Okay? So the Me'iri in Psachim, I believe, if I remember correctly, says that's not a very good Raya, because he's a Hanos HaAtzmo person, as we know. We know it from Sanhedrin and from here. He's a Hanos HaAtzmo even here in Ksubis. So that's not a good Raya, because the Balamor and I and the Ravid, we're talking about the Hanos Atzmo of the Anos, not the Hanos Atzmo of the Nenas. Okay. So what? The Ramban couldn't figure that out? What will the Ramban say? Oh, the Ramban's going to say, listen, in the case of Bakol Misrapin, he's the Anos, he's the Nenas, and he's the Ma'anos. And the Anos. There's no third party. That's the Pshat. Maybe. I suspect, I want to say something a little different. Maybe the Pshat is, what the Ramban was really trying to say was, I know the difference between the Anos and the Nenas. I'm not necessarily saying that the Kol Misrapin, he's the Anos. What I mean to say is the whole Sugya in Psachim works a lot better if you take the view of Chumras Aveira than if you take the view of Chil Hashem. Because there is no Anos in Bakal. What? Who's getting a victory? But there is Pikuach Nefesh. And what the Gemara is saying, Bakal Misrap and Chutz, there are three Averos which don't allow for the Heter Pikuach Nefesh because of the Chumras Avera. In other words, if Hanos Atzmo was Koveya and Gimel Averos, i.e. it was a Chil and Kiddush Hashem issue, why would it necessarily apply at all in Pikuach Nefesh? In the Sugim Psachim. I understand that by Ananos, you're giving him a victory. You're not standing up. You're sick. Between you and the Rabbanu Shalom. Not a foolproof answer, but an interesting issue. Anyways, the Balamor, the Raivid, the Me'iri, Leni the Chachmei Provence thought that Hanos Atzmo does apply to the Gimel Averos, which would imply that it's also, it's Betzina, but it's Chil Hashem, presumably. This debate, by the way, what about Avodah Zarah? So the Balamor says, if I could find a case of Avodah Zarah, which is Hanos HaAtzmo, I'd be there. But, you know, there's no such case. So then the Ravid says, maybe there's no such case. You can find cases. The Ravid Kosov Sham says, I'll give you a couple of cases. Gives you a couple of cases. And what about Rotzeach? Right, so the Ramban says, even the people who believe in Anos Atzma are not going to say it by Rotzeach. But the Ravi Avad, Ravid's father-in-law, and say for Eshkol, even there, can you have Anos Atzma and Rotzeach? I guess so, you hire a hitman. Right? I'm not suggesting this. Right? Now, again, the question whether you can find the case is one thing. The question whether you can be mechalik within the Gimel Averos, what's considered Chumras Avera, what's considered to be Chil Hashem, is something to think about also. You know, the idea that my chaz is the damek sumak tvei, you know, is just, you know, Chumras Avera. That's clear. Avodah Zarah and Gilei Arayos, much more of an open question, even between Avodah Zarah and Gilei Arayos. The idea that Avodah Zarah might be Chumras Aveira, Gilei Arayos might be more about, you know, Chil Hashem, and there might be Nafkamina, something to think about. Anyways, that's the third answer that's given in this sugya, at least, to the question of here, but that depends on a lot of issues. We'll go back to that. I want to get to discuss particularly the Rambam Shita on that issue. Okay, let's go back for a moment. We're going to stop here. Let's go back to Bias Akum, to Bias Behem. Okay, now that we have on the record these two issues, meaning the broader question of Karka Olam and Hanas Atzma. And Bias Akum, let's talk about Bias Akum for one moment. I'm going to finish now, but let me just leave you with the following thought. Okay. Number one, I want to discuss a little more about the relationship between Baal and Boel, but we've talked about some of it. What is Rabbeinu Tam? Okay, what does it mean? Rabbeinu Tam's position is really problematic. I mean, you have to choose between two versions of Rabbeinu Tam, and seemingly both are really problem. One is the Meiri version, where he basically says, you know, he opts for conceptual and legal purity, right? But then he has a disaster in terms of defending against the proofs. Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam really holds that Bias Akum is Kabias Behema, that's his orthodox, consistent view. So then there should be no Isur Labal. But if there's no Isur Labal, you've got a lot of Gemaras to contend with. Okay. There might be answers, but a lot of Gemaras. That's what they pile on. I mean, the riots against Rabbeinu Tam are mostly from Isur Labal. The other alternative is, and you have to answer those, some of those Gemaras at least. The other alternative is, Rabbeinu Tam was saying something much more nuanced, and therefore he can get out of almost all the rayas against him, right? Because he does believe that there's an Isur Labal. But then comes the question of the purity of his doctrine. What happened to Bias Behema? Right? Never mind. Now, the question of, every time there's Isur Baal, doesn't that mean there's an Isur Labal as a causative point, as a Mechayiv? Okay. We can concede, we'll document it a little more, that the relationship between Isur Labal and Isur Labal is complex. As I said before, there can be at least three, you know, perspectives on the Isur Labal. It's Exeris HaKasuv, it's, you know, it's about, he can't be your husband when he came to you, you know, in this way, as a candidate perhaps, or even not as a candidate, when your first connection with him was in this improper way, or it's a Lo Yechote Niskar, he ruined the marriage. He ruined someone else's marriage. He can't be your husband. He ruined your marriage with your husband. He can't be your husband. Whatever. Okay, good. What is the relationship between the Boel and the Baal in either direction? And so on. But the bigger question is, the more mainstream view of Rabbeinu Tam is that he is mechalik between the Boel and the Baal. So how do you explain that? I think the answer is as follows. When we say Bias Akum, it could be Bias Behema, what we probably mean is Betoras identifying him, right, in a more specific way. In other words, there are really two ways to look at what happened here. Right. She was Mizana, she betrayed her husband. So if the focus is, she basically had a physical relationship outside of her marriage. that she was involved with somebody other than her husband. And that's Koveh, the Yisur of the Baal. Does it matter who that person was? When you need to identify the Boel, so he has to have stature, and we're trying to determine not only what happened to her or to the husband, but to him, his fate. So then we say, you know what? He is somebody. He has a beard, right? He, you know, he has an accent. I don't mean any of that. Meaning, he's a Jew, he's a non-Jew, right? He's usher anyway. Where we're interested in the Boel, in terms of Issa the Boel, and we start zeroing in on his characteristics, then the answer is B.S. Akums could be as Behema. But if the focus is simply on the betrayal of her husband, on the fact that there was a Cheftza Shalbiya, let's say, Chutz Le'ishus, or a Maisa Bia, but we don't care about the Gavra HaBoel, then why not just say he was a human being? And there was a physical Maisa Bia? Obviously the physical part of Maisa Bia doesn't matter whether it's an Akum or a non-Akum. Doesn't matter whether this is Yichus or not Yichus. If we're talking about the stature of the Boel as a Boel, then in Achanami. But if we're talking about Chutz Le'ishus, an act of Begida, Moala, Bo, Moal, right? So we don't even have to answer that question. It matters whether it was a neighbor or somebody from another she knew who it was. She didn't know who it was. It's not who he was. It's who he wasn't. Like, that's the pshat in Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah.
Instead of focusing on whether we care about the cover or not, can we stick with talking about the mice and just say that he doesn't have a mice idea, but she does?
Yes, that's kind of what I'm saying. I think that's the next thing I was going to say. Put it there. It doesn't matter to me how you say this. I think that there are, you know, equally good ways to say it. What I wanted to, I think this is what you're saying, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, is I wanted to bring back the idea that I mentioned about Misasek and about Ones, which is that kind of what you're trying to suggest? Which is that maybe sometimes things are lacking as a Maisa Beira, or what we talked about the Shita Mekubetzos the other day, you know, of Shavir Abano Bilasa Bilasnos. Sometimes we focus on the Maisa Beira and on the Gavra Avaryan, and sometimes what it's enough to say that there's a Chefza Shel Avera. I was saying about Nevad, right? There's a Chefza Shel Nevad, right? Even if it isn't a Maisa Vodazar. And there could be a Chefza Avera in the case of Masasek, even though he's not a Gavra Avaryan, even maybe even if it's not considered a Maisa Avera. And here too, because of what I'm describing, because we don't care who he is, we care who he's not, it's anybody but her husband that we care about, as long as it's a Chefza Shalbiya, right, or a universal Maisa, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me so much how you say it. That's what's Koveh Legabe Yisul Abba. Yeah.
But then by Onis, why is she asked, why aren't they asked for Onis? Why aren't
the
us when there's
onis?
There's only just a
chafza shel. Well, I mean, it's still not something that was. This is something that was done baratzon. That was something that was not done baratzon. I mean, that's not a question.
Right, but then it doesn't only.
No. I was just saying that in general, even if onis isn't the maisa beira, it's possible that it sometimes can be a chafza shel beira, like with regard to neva. I wasn't saying that, you know, it's a chaf, but you can still say it's a chafza shel beira baratzon. This is a Chefza Shel Aveira bonus. Part of the prerequisite of Issa Labal in a non-Kohen situation is that it be an act of will and Bechira. Right? That's still not true in Ones. Yeah.
Why is it more of a Begida for a non-Jew than for an animal?
Than for an animal? Well, I mean, because one is simply viewed as, you know, a sick, you know, perversion and a, you know, just it's not in the parsha of bia, and it's not in the parsha of betrayal. Even it's more, you know, an act of depravity.
Okay.
Whereas the other one isn't an act of depravity; it's an act of begida. I mean, they're just different. They're totally different. If you had said to me, "Oh, there's somebody who thinks that, you know, bias behema is also a betrayal," I wouldn't, you know, lose sleep over it. But I think the pashtus is we think it's not on the radar screen.
Sure.
It's not bia, it's depravity. Right? But to be a begida, there has to be somebody to be bogeyed, kind of, with. What? I mean, you need a mice of stature, at least. You know. I think so. But again, this idea also might help you on the stature level of Begida too, a little bit with the rush. You know, why is it important that the Issa L'Boel be Dafka a candidate and not somebody who's Mufka? Not because it's Behema and it's not depravity, but he's not a candidate either. He didn't leave you with somebody who was a rival. He's not a rival, he's Mufka. Might help you for that too. I'll explain that next time. Sorry, went a little longer, but so what do we say for next time? 10:15 Thursday. Yeah. So let's try for 10:15, and we'll start off try to finish up as much as we can. Bias Akum. Then I want to speak more about Karka Olam and Hanas Atzmo and the Rambam and so on.
Yeah. Not a good riot.